This is Boyfire. Welcome to Boyfire 54. The U.S. presidential election is in the news. Hillary became Ron Paul. The economy. Kenya, Chad, TMB. Mass shootings in Chicago and Kirkwood, Missouri. Chris Newsom, Shannon Christian update. Sylvia Stoltz sent to prison. Rio cadaver float barred. EU Constitution rammed through Sarko, France. And finally, wrapping up the program, baby boom in Russia. So,
good news.
Returning to our top story tonight, wrestling superstar Hulk Hogan is calling on his fellow Americans to vote for Democrat presidential candidate Barack Obama because he's the, quote, only choice. Hogan is backing Obama because he's the one candidate he completely trusts ahead of the U.S. election later this year. He says, quote, if I had to step out to say who I really believe in and make sense and really can make a change, I'd say Obama. He seems like the real deal. He's the only choice.
Several of the Hollywood movie stars, including Robert De Niro, who has half-black children, at least one, have come out for Obama. And Rocky did. What's his name? Sylvester Stallone. He's part Jewish, descended. It's, I guess, the thing to do now. And really, the phalanx of them is pretty long and detailed. Caroline Kennedy did. She said in her speech that her children, Caroline Kennedy Schlossberg, let me back up there, and her Jewish children had convinced her that Obama was the man, so she gave them full credit in her speech. The ABC poll did something called the Cult of Obama. And as you said, Aegis, it reminded me of that it's really no more politics in the United States. It's all PR. You know, the Black Eyed Peas with Yes We Can. This was released on the night before on YouTube, and within very short order, it had 200,000 hits, and there are literally 10 pages of that video. And these young kids are not taught to reason. A lot of people think that Obama will basically tax the United States to death the way Jimmy Carter did, and get 20% interest rates the way he did, and pass out free government checks in schools the way Jimmy Carter did. People may remember they actually started these bullshit overnight schools, and they'd get kids to sign up. Say, yeah, come and be this, come and be that, you know. Just sign up to our new private school, and the government will pay us for your tuition, 100%. So, and in fact, Obama's grandmother said she's waiting to be helped, and she wants him to help Kenya and especially her tribe and the whole world. So,
yeah, we'll talk about that a little later. The Kenyans can't even get along. So this is just celebrity politics and, you know, the underlying belief that politicians can solve problems. I mean, set of politicians, problems that politicians can solve is tiny, and that includes those solvable by intelligent white men who are certainly not the majority of the electorate anymore. It's just this, it's celebrities talking about celebrities and idiots who think somehow reality is going to conform to TV if they just vote for whoever is more leftist or more multiracial. But yeah, like Craig said, the bottom line of this stuff is you're just going to vote for higher taxes, and the taxes are going to come from whites, and they're going to go to the niggers and the bureaucrats. And if American people paid any attention or learned anything from history, they would see where other nations have gone who have tapped into previously excluded or under-recognized black genius for politics. You know how they like to say, like, 50% of our talent wasn't being used, you know, before feminism. But there is no political talent among blacks. There's just appeal to blackness. And Obama's a member of a black church that has praised Farrakhan, which is actually not that bad if you think about it. But it's a radical black nationalist church. Everything that if a white belonged to it, it would exclude them from the process. But of course, the only reason that Obama is even running is that he is part black. And anyone who's part black is all black, is the way it's always been in America. That's the reason he's in there. Beyond that, he's just an ordinary leftist demagogue. He may be a little politer or less obnoxious than Hillary Clinton, a little more likable, but he's going to pursue the same policies. It's going to be government is the solution to everything, and it just flat isn't. I mean, we have California essentially bankrupt now. They're trying all kinds of desperate measures like shutting down state parks and liberalizing rules for the casinos to pray that the Indians can bail them out with additional tax revenue. revenue. And at some point, the low IQ of the colored masses and the immorality of the misled whites are going to come together to pretty much create what you see now. I mean, we already have it to a large degree. It's kind of a giant jumble of people who are unrelated to one another and have no connection except money and the pursuit of it. That's pretty much where we are. You can also bet that if Obama is elected or he's part of the Clinton team, they will try to push through one of these various so-called hate bills that will, what's the one floating right now? I think it's
1955. S-1959, yeah, and Barack's on the board.
Rock's on the board, and what is this? Well, this is yet another attempt to chip away at the First Amendment by essentially defining anybody who opposes the federal government as a terrorist, and of course they're using the internet to radicalize people. Now, what they mainly talk about is radicalized Muslims, but we're number two on that list. We're radicalizing whites by talking about the way things used to be, by giving them an unauthorized version of history, and they want to prevent that. The left follows the policy that comes from Herbert Marcuse, which is no platform for the right. Marcuse was a communist theoretician of the middle decades of the 20th century, and his idea was no platform for the right, no space for the right. That is, any rightist expression, such as we're doing here now, ought to be shut down. It should never be given a public platform. It should never be given a private platform. It has absolutely no rights to express itself whatsoever.
Extremely popular, Alex. He was, too, in the late 60s and early 70s with my generation. So
yes, on college.
The great baby boomers, right. Yeah, it was almost, in fact, required reading, I would say, in most places.
Yeah, and they follow that on campuses today. That's why you never get any truly right-wing speaker. At most, you might get a neocon who's arguing for what is good for Israel, but you'll never get a truly right-wing person anywhere. And that's the theoretical basis of that doctrine. So, things just continue to get worse and worse.
Yeah, I can't recall.
And the causes of this are worsening are easily identifiable if you know what's going on, but people are denied that knowledge and really don't seem that interested in seeking it out, judging by how they vote.
Yeah, I can't recall ever experiencing an election which was more demoralizing, more farcical, more absurd than this one. Just all of the candidates are pretty much awful across the board, except Ron Paul, and he's been excluded almost exclusively from everything.
We should talk about that a little bit. You're exactly right. What I would say on that front is this is the first election I can ever recall where you had someone who truly, in more than sound bites, in fact, in extended intelligent analysis, explained the system, what's wrong with it, and which way to go. And that was Ron Paul. I've never seen that in my lifetime. The most I've ever seen was Ronald Reagan, who talk some good sound bites, but didn't have a deeper understanding than that. Ron Paul truly did have the understanding, but for a combination of reasons, his taking the wrong tack, his simply being excluded from the debate by the media just pretending he didn't exist, we've ended up in a situation where we have a couple of identical pro-Brown socialists who are the only ones left standing. I mean, essentially McCain and Hillary and Obama. And Ron Paul has been shunted to the side despite his remarkable money raising and his remarkable honesty and directness as a politician, which is utterly unprecedented in the U.S., at least, going back. You probably have to go back to about Wilson when you had presidents actually writing their own speech and sometimes saying things that were intelligent rather than just intended for immediate reception.
Well, maybe it was part of it, I guess, Ron Paul putting the system candidates into a relief that made them that much more absurd and the process that much more intimidating and daunting and locked down. But you wrote this about Paul on the VNN forum. He lost in part because no one heard him thanks to the Jew-controlled mass media. Personal, too old, too mild. Politically, he incorrectly made hard money his main pitch and getting out of Iraq his secondary pitch. He incorrectly refused to play the whites as whites by emphasizing his intention to end federal affirmative action, a proven winning position. He also threw away the chance to emphasize he would shut down the border.
Yeah, and one of those points is arguable, which is the war. I mean, a lot of Republicans, he's in the Republican Party, he's running as a Republican. A lot of Republicans still support the war, but I think if he had hit that extremely hard and really emphasized that it was a war for Israel and that McCain was nothing but a tool, then I think he might have had a chance. But this is part of what I said about the personal, too old and too mild. He doesn't hit anything particularly hard. He's more of a college professor type, and he's kind of mildly remonstrating, and he is principled, and he sticks to what he believes, but he needs to be more aggressive and more vicious. The American people are stupid and vicious in a large measure, and you need to get out there, and you can make exactly the same arguments that Paul made, but you can make them in a different way, and you can emphasize different ones of them than he chose to emphasize. Now, people say, oh, you can't win as an open racist, you can't win as a white nationalist, but you don't have to call yourself that. You can be a libertarian and still argue from libertarian points and make different emphasis than what Paul made. You can say, I will end federal discrimination against white people if I'm elected. That's a proven winner. Whites have always voted against affirmative action. Paul didn't do that. He instead took the tack of, I am not a racist, when certain of his utterly defensible quotes from his old newsletters came up. I'm not a racist. I love Martin Luther King. He was a real nonviolent individual. I love Rosa Parks. She stood up for individual people. That's the tack he took. And that's when his steam started to leave his campaign.
Right.
He did a couple of times say things that woke people up to an extent that they hadn't considered before. For instance, when he talked about having free association, which controverts the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And even more so, I thought, when he talked about Abraham Lincoln unnecessarily killing over 600,000 people, which really calls him a mass murderer, which he was. This is astounding to the consciousness of most white Americans, and yet some of them, maybe 3-7%, are able to respond to this. And Alex, in terms of what you were saying about his being ignored, all of these things, all of these lying news clips off Fox and everything, they're all into YouTube and Pod Blanc now, and we have them, and those things are going to be in there teaching forevermore. And on the morning of Super Tuesday, the New York Times, Pinch, what's his surname, that family, Salzburg or something?
Salzburg.
Pinch, I looked at the article and I thought, okay, well, here we'll see Ron Paul. I got past Huckabee. I said, okay, we're nearing the end of the article. There they're going to say Ron Paul doesn't stand a chance in hell or something, you know, something along those lines, real denigrating. Not even there. And this is after he won second place in Louisiana and he beat Giuliani in every state except New Hampshire. And then the election comes and Obama even won Missouri, which is often considered the state which most picks the presidential winner. They also chose McCain on the Republican side. And Idaho. Idahoans voted for Obama. So there's something tied up in the American consciousness. In my opinion, it has to do with the Bible and humanitarianism and their thinking that it makes them morally superior, which you've talked a lot about before. You know, they have this some sort of dialogue with themselves going on that to be morally superior and above other people, sort of aristocrats in their own mind or legends in their own mind, that they have to vote for a black under no matter what.
Yeah, they think they're proving they're not racist, a lot of them.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, look at the president. Sees the black stop terrorizing me with affirmative action and other claims for reparations.
But, yeah, that's what they think, but of course it won't make any difference.
Exactly. But, their thinking is what's mine is mine and what's yours is negotiable.
Yeah, and they'll keep going there. As South Africa shows, they'll blame, even when there's hardly any whites around, they'll still be blaming the legacy of discrimination against niggers and 400 years of slavery.
Right,
so it will never end. White people, there's no way out. They're never going to become white people. They're never going to stop taking from you everything that you give. There's only fighting or death. Mm-hmm. Those are the only options.
Getting back
and the conflict, the day-to-day conflict between these races.
Yeah. Well,
if you don't like conflict and struggle, then you don't like being alive, because it's not going to go away. You will go away. Your type of people will go away.
Yeah. Well, getting
you say, I can't bring people into this kind of world. Well, okay. There you go. You know? And you're done.
Well, getting back to Paul, you said he ignored the Mexican invasion and he ignored racial discrimination against whites while foolishly emphasizing his respect for a communist saint in a way that no one believed and which reduced him to the status of just another lying Paul, taking the steam out of his campaign when it needed it most.
Yeah, I mean, that's arguable, but that's how I see it. I mean, if you're going to start talking about how great MLK is, every politician does that. The thing Paul had going for him was he was honest and principled. And as Craig, he deserves a lot of praise. He has brought a lot of stuff up that certainly never would have been brought up. And as Giuliani said, Paul won every debate they had. He's more intelligent and honest than the rest of them. But what his flocks, his legions of young supporters have learned is that doesn't really cut it in this system. It's the people who represent the money power, which is the Jews, who get ahead. get the promotion and get the airtime. And those are the ones, and the public is being gullible and stupid, buys what it's fed. And the New York Times backed McCain, and I believe the Washington Post did also.
Right,
so that's what you're going to get. You're going to get McCain, or you're going to get Hillary Clinton or Obama.
Now, what's McCain's psychological profile?
Well, he's someone who's locked up in a box for 5 years.
Well,
he's someone who ditched his first wife and jumped in with someone who had more money, who had a Budweiser distributorship. He's someone who doesn't give a damn about national borders or white people. He's on the side of the brown invaders. But even so, he's taken tax against all those, and he'll somewhat claim to be against affirmative action now to shore up his conservative base, but in no way is he a conservative. But what's the difference? There's only one party anyway, and he's the right-wing, head of the right-wing of it. So he's the one the idiots are going to vote for. Even the people who thought they were voting against war voted for him. That's what's so amazing in, like, New Hampshire. They're not even smart enough to understand that he's the biggest warmonger out there. I mean, he said openly it's going to take, it could well take another 100 years of war.
Yeah, Pat Buchanan was laughing about it. Buchanan was laughing.
He doesn't even bother to lie about this stuff anymore. He just says, yeah, there's going to be more wars. Sorry to tell you that, but there's going to be more wars. It might take 100 years, and these people are voting for him.
And those jobs aren't coming back. That's another thing, and the Mexicans aren't leaving. So get used
Mexicans
to it.
Mexicans aren't leaving. The jobs aren't coming back. Get used to it. They're building a new world order, and they don't really give a damn about any white people. Fuck them. Who are they to McCain?
And I'm going to win anyway, even though Ron Paul's more popular.
They don't care. I mean, if the media treated Ron Paul fairly and gave him a fair and equal standing, I think he probably could have won. But that's not how it works. Democracy is ruled by the rich. The rich are the Zionists and the Jews. They own the media, and they support their own guys. And anyone else, they either ignore or they mock them and they smirk at them. And that has the effect, because the average little guy wants to think himself on the same side as these people he sees on TV, and just as he relates to a celebrity and feels like he knows them or a sports hero. It's the same thing with politicians. They think that Bush is really on their side, or they'll come up with any kind of an excuse to why the guy who isn't doing what it seems he should be doing is really, really wants to, but his handlers or someone else prevents him from doing it. It's abysmally stupid. So they get sheeper for shearing. That's the Jewish attitude. It's hard not to take that view. These people are basic white people. They could do well if they were properly led, but when they're not properly led, they'll still go along with it. And they're no less dangerous because they're misled to those of us who... Just because they're dumb doesn't mean they're not a threat to those of us who do see what's going on. They are a threat.
Yeah.
Evidently, they don't mind dying over there because, you know, what draws people? Kirksville, what draws a crowd here in the middle of middle America? And as Craig said, Missouri is it's a very representative state. It's got a couple big cities with some minorities, and it's got a rural area that's basically white, and it's medium. It's fairly large state, so it's pretty representative of America in a lot of ways. And, you know, what draws a crowd here? Well, Matt Shepard's mom and a dead Marine draws a big crowd. That's what draws a big crowd in the middle of the country. So they have no problem with authority. They're loyal Americans. They wave the flag. They go off to battle. Isn't that what they're supposed to do? They don't want to hear anything said against authority. I'm not getting in front of the fucking, you know, stampede going to run me over.
Well, in another news, speaking of stampedes, yesterday the nation's retailers turned in their worst January in almost four decades as high gas and food prices, a slumping housing market, tighter credit, and a tougher job market pushed consumers to the edge. This, along with quite a few other unsettling economic developments, leading just to a general feeling of economic depression and recession.
Sure. You've got, you know, they've been making bad loans for years, subprime loans, and now that's coming home to roost. Gold is, what, over 900? It was approaching 1,000 there for a while. Dropped a little, but... economy built on basically dollar stores and Walmart and loan shark places. It's all you see on TV locally or per television ads is dollar stores. Come in, get your payday loan up to $500. That's what it is for the working class in white America.
It's a service economy. They admit it now. They say it's the biggest sector in the whole United States, and it's just gone through the floor. They had some standardized rating. They said 50, anything below 50, it's everyone knows it's a down sign. So now it's 44, some national standardized rating. The service economy is finished. So, you know, I see Bush has a $3 trillion budget, and David Walker, who's the comptroller, I guess, of the United States, he's talking about when the baby boomers come online, which isn't that far away. In fact, some of them, the first one already has. For Social Security, that he mentions the number 53 trillion. You know, they bandy these about. And, you know, I looked up 5.87 trillion miles, in a light year, and that's light going at 186,000 miles per second. And this is how fast the dollar is being spent. What, a trillion in Iraq, and I think 4 trillion sitting in China and some vaults and all around the world, China partially, Japan. It's just a big joke now, and it's so much of a joke. I don't know why Americans would vote for somebody who talks about, yes, we can, to the tune of the Black Eyed Peas in the midst of this crisis. It's, you know, Alex, you've always talked about them being adults, and Americans will not be adults. And apparently they're willing to not only sell their people, but their families, their country, their everything they've worked for all their lives, and everything to boot, right down the drain.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, wars cost a lot of money to wage. And that's what empires do. They wage wars. And a report came in the other day, you know, they're now estimating that there have been over 1 million Iraqi citizens killed in the war. And is that worth it to run up, you know, a couple of trillion dollars and then to have this another 50 plus trillion dollars in that we're committed to pay for? How are we going to pay for that? There's only one way to do it if we're not going to default, and that's to keep printing money, which is what they're doing right now to stave off the depression or the recession.
Yeah,
and
well,
it doesn't work. It just results in rising prices, and that's what this article we've got here that you mentioned, Aegis, says. You know, people are using their $20 Walmart gift cards to buy basics, like diapers and food and stuff. They're not buying iPods, and they're not buying, you know, boom boxes. They're buying, you know, food and basic items, and prices have gone up remarkably in terms of food.
Yeah, well, one of the biggest misconceptions about the war is that somehow the nation is profiting from it, whereby all the resources that they have been able to, I guess, steal over there have been privatized immediately, and that's why all these big payments are coming out of Saudi Arabia and other places, because it's basically just offshoring resources into private companies, mm-hmm. and it's not going to pay taxes.
They just brought $21 billion worth of those MRAPs or MRWPs or whatever those big things they're making in South Carolina, you know, they weigh, I don't know, 20 tons or something, you know, and they protect the soldiers supposedly from IEDs and mines along the road. They bought literally $21 billion worth of those things. I don't know, it's like 450,000 each, 12,000 of them or something like that. But that's what it amounted to. I mean, they're just these sums they're throwing around, and all to get one quarter of the Iraqi oil. And then they're claiming for that oil auction by which American companies will get it, they're bribing the members of Parliament of Iraq, $5 million each. All of these things, almost all these things we talk about, you know, are on VNNforum.com, which is really interesting. It's a great source of information. People finding all of these detailed articles. But
here we have the U.S. Congress Thursday overwhelmingly passed an economic stimulus package which had been sought by President Bush to fend off a possible recession. According to the stimulus package, individuals who pay income taxes would get up to $600, working couples $1,200, and those with children an additional $300 per child.
Yeah.
These are just basic, I guess, freebies now. I mean,
yeah, well, Bernanke already said if the dollar collapses, they'll throw it out of helicopters. That's what that is.
Yeah, that was a very vivid expression of their basic attitude, which is just print money, print money, print money.
Sure, yeah.
And he's been widely mocked for that, and correctly. But I guess the only way you sell to otherwise conservative people who understand the need to balance your books, the only way you can sell these wars is in the name of protection. And that's what apparently enough of these people believe. I don't know if they watch Fox News or they have an incentive because they come from the South and that's where defense is strong and people join the military. But they really believe that we are somehow preventing terrorists from attacking here by waging trillion-dollar wars over in the Middle East. Now, a child should be able to see that's not true, but the average working-class white in the South and Midwest can't see that, apparently, because they're voting for McCain. So keep on defending us until we're absolutely bankrupt and everybody else in the world hates us.
Yeah, and we've got anarchy at home and tyranny as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's just endless, you know, calls for new IDs, and they're trying to stick in these new federal. They've had some backlash from the states, but they're trying to get in this new federal uniform national ID, such as the Social Security number was never supposed to be an ID, but that this is going to be like you renew your driver's license, and then they give you basically a national ID that has a microchip in it. There's more of that kind of stuff all the time.
They have that here in Estonia. I have an ID with one of those. Mm-hmm. But when you go someplace, they can look you all up. I suppose they have different levels of access, sure, depending on where you go, you know, about how far into your history they can dig. And
this is a related story we weren't going to talk about, but the FBI, they just put out a request for quote for and most big government departments do this, because I used to write about this stuff 10 years ago. I mean, every couple of years they'd be putting out an RFQ on something like this. But, you know, they wanted $1 billion contract to build a massive database that basically has all the physical biometrics, as they call it, of pretty much every citizen on Earth. And if you ever go to a white nationalist rally, they love to, at many of them, they scan you. They scan your irises. I don't know if they get your fingerprints or not, but they take all kinds of pictures of you, and they want to get a massive database. And if, being the government, that they lie that it will be a security enhancer or even a privacy enhancer. But
right, that was a
no,
great
they
term.
Want to get everything into one file.
Yeah, privacy enhancer.
People are so accustomed to being, American people, the most bullshitted lie to people on earth. The entire media is not going to lick their ass. And evidently they're too dumb not to, they like it. I mean, they use this as an example on one of our other radio shows, which was Time Magazine. And, you know, it was just one of the middle weeks of the election. Just the cover, it's so smarmy and it's so blowing smoke up their ass is the only way to describe it. You know, the American people, the experts said it was decided, but the American people, you know, they decided otherwise. They showed that it just wasn't so. They're always portraying these people, American people who are their sucker readers, as just a little smarter than the government and the experts. They know what they're doing. There's sort of a popular wisdom out there and just totally flattering these idiots, and it works.
Yeah.
It works. I mean, there's no other way to explain the success of Fox News. I mean, these people of otherwise ordinary intelligence, you know, they're not necessarily stupid. They watch that and they come away smirking, smug, and thinking the way you argue is to shout down everybody, and well, you like the results?
Yeah, they call that the Hannity factor.
You know, in medieval times, if you went against the orthodoxy of the Bible, which was, at that time, it was the matrix they laid on people of reality by which you must measure up and consider the universe or the world around you, they've kind of done the same thing with Fox News and with... Actually, they've extrapolated the Jews into modern times with the same thing, the same hocus pocus. And humanism and the fact that we're all the same, these Boasian lies, I mean, it's to extreme detriment. When I see the kids over here and they're speaking three languages, and they're good-looking kids, you know, they're not denigrated, their DNA or anything, it's not run down. The people in the United States, those 7% Ron Paulers or whatever they are, 3 to 7%, they're scattered all over the country, just like in Brazil. How are these people ever going to get organized in one geographic area? It seems to me they're just going to lose and lose and lose numbers. And we don't have any elites writing PhD papers, you know, like they do maybe about the snipe snail or the sperm whale, about why these entities need to be saved. Because why? Because the kids will say, white, there's no such thing. And even if there is, we don't need it. You know, we don't want it. I mean, it's very, very severe mind control on levels that we can hardly even get a grip on.
Across the pond, we have Kenya, another shining example of post-colonial African progress. And the headline is, ethnic violence in Rift Valley is tearing Kenya apart. Nairobi, the capital of Kenya, may seem calm, but anarchy reigns just 2 hours away. In Nakuru, furious mobs rule the streets, burning homes, brutalizing people, and expelling anyone not in their ethnic group, all with complete impunity. On Saturday, hundreds of men prowled a section of the city with 6-foot iron bars, poisoned swords, clubs, knives, and crude circumcision tools. Boys carried gladiator-style shields, and women strutted around with sharpened sticks.
Talk to the stick.
Yeah, what's going on is basically ethnic cleansing. They're disappointed over results, and, you know, that's a good enough reason to fight other people who are a different brand of nigger than you are. And the latest now, this from February 8th, let me read just a little. Something I Googled up here. Thousands of people displaced from the suburbs in the western edge of the capital, Nairobi, have left for their ancestral homes in western Kenya. They've had 17,000 people leave here since last week, but they've been leaving since Friday, the 1st of February, for their ancestral homes in areas such as Kisumu, Bondo, Busia, Kakamega, and Kitale. Regina Munguti, you like my Kenyan there, do you? a volunteer of the Catholic Justice and Peace Commission. So, see, the natural solution here is kicking in. You know, ethnic groups can't get along. Not even these different species of niggers can get along. So what do they do when they're forced together through the offices of the state? Well, they may appear to get along for a while, but eventually they fight, and then they separate. And forcing people together, you know, they call us haters and extremists, but forcing together groups who don't want to be together, that's the real hate. That's what the Jews do in every area in white society. They declare that basically every area, everything that goes on is public, whereas it used to be the state occupied a small sphere and the rest was private. They say, no, everything's public. Hotels are public, housing is public, employment is public, restaurants are public, and you have to mix with niggers whether you want to or not. We don't care if they end up raping 40,000 a year of your women. That's your problem. We're not going to acknowledge it. We're going to deny it in our media. And if you dare to talk about it, we're going to call you haters and extremists.
Right. Those so you are just the, put up, love you just crime.
Put up, you just put up with this crime visited on you by blacks. And if you don't like it and you work against it, you're racist. So the same thing in the prisons. They know that there's going to be racial attacks on whites who are hated by minorities because whites locked them up in the first place. They know that. They don't care. They know that segregation is a perfectly natural. They force in races among each other even though they don't want that. They could just as easily build prisons that were blacks only or Mexicans only and have smaller and more infrequent ones for whites only. They could do that, but they choose to forcibly gunpoint integrate them, knowing it will cause misery. That's what our government does, and that's why it really needs to be replaced. Because you'd better believe if there were Jewish inmates being attacked by niggers and Mexicans, you'd better believe they would get special treatment and be herded out. But there's not that many Jews in prison.
These two tribes, I found it interesting that the poor of the two tribes is Obama's descendant tribe. That's the what is it? The Olus here? Luos. So many vowels. The Luos and the Kikuyus. So the opposition leader who got screwed out of the election, he's one of Obama's people, the Luo. And they come from the western part, and now they're crossing each other. And the Luos, I think, first attacked the Kikuyus who rigged the election. Cuckoo, so now they're leaving one place called the Rift Valley. And the Kikuyus, I guess, used to live in the highlands where they ran the British out. And they had the Mau Mau uprising there between 1952 and 1960. And a lot of these tribes were involved in that. Interestingly, I saw a video recently, and they had a black who, she spoke with a very fine West London accent, I think it was. And she gave the whole history. There's no such thing as the Mau Mau uprising. And she gave the actual name of their different organizations and who, in fact, they were. But apparently these things have been long and deep-rooted in their society because, you see, they're still going on. As you just said, it's continuing, and it will continue forevermore. And I don't know why the Jews don't go over there and set everybody straight, say who's who and why they shouldn't hate and, you know, get some government money from Kenya. I guess when Obama's president, he would do that. I saw one thing. They said his mom was watching the election on some old TV. I thought, now, why doesn't Senator Obama send this woman a $100 Walmart TV from Korea? I mean, what's the problem? The old lady has to watch a grandson on an old TV. They wouldn't even show the Reuters wouldn't her old TV.
Yeah, well, you know, he is driving around in limos, apparently smoking crack with homosexuals, so he's got better things to do.
I think he's very tall, too. Americans like height. Yeah. But whatever's going on, it's what we've been talking about for years, and that is they seem to think that by going against their own natural racial interest, that they're some sort of aristocrat. They're some sort of, you know, holy man or holy woman. And this is a really mistaken and sick conjecture.
Well, that's what's indoctrinated into the 50% that go to college, that they elevate themselves socially by taking on these liberal views. That means downplaying their own race and exaggerating the virtues of these others. That's how they distance themselves from white trash and rural white racists. And most people believe what they're told. They eat what they're fed. They're fed bullshit. Now they eat it just like a pig. They don't know any better.
Yeah, why aren't the Jews wrecking the Kenyan immigration situation so that whites are being forced immigrated into Kenyan society? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's only racism. Yeah, whites, every non-white area is allowed to maintain its integrity, but white areas must become diverse. They must allow immigration. They must get rid of their blood-based nationality laws. So, yeah, that only works one way. So anti-racist means anti-white. As people have pointed out.
If Obama's president, maybe we'll get a few tens of thousands of Luo refugees into, I don't know, Missouri. Yeah. Can Missouri fit them, Alex?
Sure, we have lots of open areas.
That's right.
And put them on the feedlots.
Well, we have one refugee in Chicago, or Tinley Park, Illinois. Four people are dead in a shooting Saturday morning at a
Lane Bryant. Yeah, that's a female clothing store.
At a Lane Bryant clothing store in a strip mall in Tinley Park. And police say the gunman is still on the loose. The Will County Coroner's Office confirmed four people are dead from the shooting at the Lane Bryant store in the Brookside Marketplace Shopping Center.
I've got a question right away, Alex. Is there, Aegis, I've got a question. Is there more on that, please? I'm really beside myself about this. Almost 2 weeks. Where's the goddamn sketch? Okay? Where's the sketch? One woman lived. The sixth woman got shot in the neck. She jerked her head at the last moment, so instead of going into a... her occipital lobe and killing her, it went into a flesh wound in her neck. Didn't hit the jugular or anything. She got out of the hospital, I think, the next day. Where is the sketch, you know?
Maybe a mild description.
They won't even put a charcoal sketch. And I think the reason why is because they already had several niggers pulled off the bus, you know, within hours of the thing happening, kind of like on the East Coast with what they were doing to whites during Muhammad Malvo. But, come on, a guy just murdered five people, and he's running around loose, and because of political correctness, they won't draw a charcoal sketch? This is, it's like voting for Obama, you know, across the nation.
Yeah, I hope it's a white guy and a white man.
I think that's really evil. That's just really evil. You know, even in the Old West, they put up, come on, the wanted posters. They will not... It's Chicago, you know, nigger central, I guess. That's the only thing I can figure.
Yeah, and niggers and Mexicans.
Yeah.
Chicago's already probably about 25 to 30% Mexican, that whole area, and it's way out in the suburbs. I mean, it's way out. It's across. I read those guys over the Chronicles, the paleoconservative stuff. I don't respect them, but I read what they write. But they write about Roxville in a couple of their blogs, and Rockville. Not Rockville, Rockford. Rockford's over on the northwest side of the state of Illinois, and that's got all kinds of gangs and apparently a lot of Arabs, of all things, as well as Mexicans and blacks. So this shit scum is not limited to Chicago or to East St. Louis. It's really spread out across a lot of Illinois.
Yeah, that's some Arab who glommed onto Britney Spears there, Osama Lufti or something, glommed onto her and moved into her house and took over everything. Ground up medicine, sprinkled on her food like it was black pepper or something. This is what we're reaping. The guy was born in L.A. 1974. There he is now, Freak City.
No, I haven't seen any sketch of this the nigger shootist anywhere. And the first extended news stories I saw, they basically put the race of the suspect in the very last line of the story. They said something like, you know, he was supposed to be, I don't know how tall he was, like 5'10 or something, but 5'9 and weigh like 230 to 290 or something like that. Mm-hmm. This is one roly-poly brother.
They call him clean.
You know, he's just rolling into these stores. I mean, I guess a couple of the ones he shot were black, but the other ones were white. Am I right about that?
Two were black, four were white.
Yeah, and I mean... only a nigger would even think. They say robbery is the motive. Okay. Well, who the hell robs a store inside of a mall? I mean, even for a nigger, that's kind of dumb.
Could have hit the KFC, walked out with
the
problem.
I mean, you rob the store, then what? You get out and you run away, you race through it until you find... you know how hard it is. Sometimes you can't even find a damn door to get out of one of those malls. It's all confusing.
It was a crime of passion.
And Lane Bryant... why would you rob a Lane Bryant? That's kind of a fat chick type store, I think.
One of the relatives of one of the deceased said that there's no way that that was a robbery, but that was all that was declared. He didn't say what it was.
Yeah, I would guess, you know, maybe there was something personal there. Maybe he was involved with one of the women, or because that kind of plays into, you know, our next story, right, Aegis? I mean, there was our next story about a nigger going in a shooting rampage. There's definitely a reason for it, and it's not robbery.
Yeah, and none other than Kirkwood, Missouri City Council meeting massacre. A gunman named Charles Lee Thornton walked into a city council meeting in Kirkwood, Missouri, and opened fire. At least six people were dead by the time the shooting was done, as was the gunman. Among the wounded taken into a local medical facility were two councilmen and Kirkwood mayor. Police opened fire on Thornton, killing him.
And listen to this. Let me interject here. Thornton's brother, Gerald, told local television station KMOV that he saw a justification for the bloodshed. My brother went to war tonight with the people in the government that were putting torment and strife in his life, and he ended it. Gerald Thornton said, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Now, that's the attitude of the nigger. I mean, those of you who think that niggers think they have anything in common with us, that statement refutes that.
If blacks go and shoot whites, most blacks think, yeah, they deserve it. So you're living around people who have a built-in feeling that it's okay to kill you. They fucking hate you. Now, all you ever hear about is white racism. Well, black racism is 10 times stronger. This is just like that tribal thing over in Kenya, man. They're happy. If the Kikuyu kill someone else, as long as they're not Kikuyu, that's perfectly cool. You know, this guy's, yeah, my brother went and killed a bunch of white people who were harassing him. I mean, that's not even the facts of the case, but niggers don't care about the facts. But we allow the Jews to stick this kind of people around us. And this is the natural result. We're reaping the natural result. Niggers go nuts. They can't control themselves. They go into a store and start shooting people. They go into a city town council meeting and start shooting people. How long are we going to tolerate niggers among us? How long are we going to tolerate the Jews who stuck them among us and told us they were our equals?
And lie about them every day. Yeah, lie how
Jews won't let us separate them. The legal reason we can't separate from niggers like this is because Jews destroyed freedom of association, even though it's written in the Constitution. So we can't protect our areas. We can't live in racially exclusive areas because the Jews perverted the law of the land, the Constitution, to mean the opposite of what it means. The Constitution allows us to protect ourselves from rampaging niggers. But Jews say, no, you can't do that. Your community must be open to the niggers who go on rampages. We call that civil rights. So these are the two options, white men. Either you can withstand Jewish verbal barrages, or you can have to put up with nigger physical barrages in the form of bullets fired into your women, fired into your men, fired into your children. Which is it better to put up with? I say we stop putting up with the Jews. And once we stop putting up with the Jews, all of a sudden we won't have to put up with the niggers any longer. Who's going to run things? Either us or the Jews and the blacks? That's the question. Not Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. It's whites running things for their own interests, or Jews and blacks running things for their own interests. That's the stark political fact of the matter. Don't allow the media to gauze it and veil it and hide from you the real forces doing battle. That's what it's our business here at Goyfire to lay bare and make plain to you. It's whites versus Jews. Jews say, oh yeah, you have to treat these as your equal. We know that they rape your people. We know that they kill them. We know that they fill the air with hip-hop noise. We know that they can't keep up school-wise, so we drag your kid down. They know all that stuff. They don't care. Jews are our enemy. They are the ones who sicked these niggers on us. And these news stories are the result of that.
Yeah, well, speaking of media distortion, we have here an article from the Scotsman, no less, covering the Shannon Christian, Chris Newsom double murder. And the title of this article is "Pretending the Web Doesn't Exist Will Not Serve Justice." And it starts off, it's written by Graham Greig. Brutal, unprovoked, and pointless murders have always generated public response. Revulsion at the crime draws on a well of primitive responses that include fear, anger, and fascination. A person accused can expect little respite from outrage from the moment he or she is identified as a suspect. The worse the crime, the less reality there is in the public mind to the legalistic concept of presumption of innocence.
This is an article appearing in a Scottish paper talking about one of the defendants in the Shannon Christian Chris Newsom rape, murder, torture trial. And the defense lawyer, who's someone I've actually spoken to, Philip LaMonaco of Nashville, I'm sorry, of Knoxville, is trying to get defendant Eric Boyd's case moved. Now, Boyd is more of a, he's sought after, there are four black males and one female involved in this case, and Boyd is, they've charged with being a federal accessory after the fact. But two of the main directors of this crime, so to speak, have said that he was involved with the rape and murder. So that in itself is interesting. But what LaMonaco is trying to do is move this from the eastern side of the state in Knoxville, several hundred miles west to Memphis, over in the Mississippi River or thereabouts, on the other side of the state. Now, the irony here, or one thing that I wanted to talk about in this article, is this is a common leftist Jewish tact. They downplay or ignore, that is, they keep local any hush crime, what we've denominated hush crime, a black-on-white violent crime. We call it hush crime because it's never reported nationally, right? So when we pick one of these cases and make a big deal about it, as we at VNN did over the Shannon Christian Chris Newsom murder, Then all of a sudden, it suddenly starts writing about it, if we care so much as to put on a rally. And then it pretends that, oh yeah, there's been all kinds of media covers of this. We've been talking about it all along. It's a lie. It's complete bullshit. The media didn't talk about Shannon Christian, Chris Newsom whatsoever until we put on the first rally last year. The media kept it confined to about 20-mile circle around Knoxville. It wasn't even known statewide before we started talking about it. So that's lie number one. And the second point is, this guy's point, LaMonaco's point, the lawyer LaMonaco's point, doesn't even make sense, because if there's prejudicial coverage is due to the media, it's due to the web, and the web is accessible anywhere. So there were plenty of people even in Knoxville who hadn't heard of this, because although Knoxville covered it, they didn't cover it in racial terms. They simply talked about it within that city. So to the extent this thing is known, it's known because of the web and because of what we do. And I think, you know, I actually, when I had the charges that I was facing, I talked to a number of defense lawyers, and one of them was this LaMonaco, and he basically said, you know, try to get it settled because it's very expensive. And that's, for those of you who've never been brought into this system in a formal legal sense, the basic, you've heard the jibe, you have as much justice as you can afford. That's basically correct. And what that means is they can trump up so many charges that they can tie you up until you have no money. That's in the incentive. The system is built to benefit politicians and lawyers. They can keep things running indefinitely. It's no problem to them at all. And when they do that, it exhausts your bank book. So that's why most people cannot afford to fight any serious charge. And what the prosecutor can do is simply pile charge upon charge. And you have to defend. All he has to do is fill out a piece of paper. Well, that means you have to defend an additional, say, misdemeanor charge. And it costs, the bottom cost for a misdemeanor is $1,500 a pop. So this can go on indefinitely. And and to actually take one of these charges to trial is going to cost you about $3,000 to $5,000, at least for the first round. And the point is, most people can't afford that. So most people plead guilty. So most prosecutors have a near 100% conviction record. And then the idiots who watch cops go around saying, well, Nancy Grace must be a great prosecutor. She has 100% conviction. Well, how did she get it? They get it that way, by multiplying charges against people, by inventing stuff, and knowing that people don't have the money to defend themselves. So that's how the system actually works. And LaMonaco, he told me he's one of 20 in the state who is a criminal trial specialist. I'm looking at my notes here. So Mr. Eric Boyd, this accessory after the fact or participant in the main course, if you're to believe the other participants, is being defended by one of only a couple dozen criminal trial specialists. So that's interesting. I wonder how Eric Boyd is funding his defense, because he looks pretty much like a no good nigger with no money. I'm just guessing maybe the state is picking up the bill.
No, LaMonaco's not the duty counsel in the state. He's not. Is that it?
I'm wondering, is this a state defense, or is Eric Boyd paying his own way in this lawyer?
So I guarantee it's like Jenna 6, like all the niggers in the country are sending their money.
I guarantee you a case like this, there's no way LaMonaco would touch this for under probably about $50,000.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
I wouldn't guess.
It's not capital, because I think Boyd's the only one maybe not facing capital charges. I'm not sure.
Not yet, anyway.
The reason LaMonaco is requesting that the venue be changed to Memphis is because Memphis is 64.1% black, according to citydata.com, whereas Knoxville, a city of 130,000, is only 16% black. And it's true that VNN, with some slight help from other white nationalist sites, I would say, but initially, particularly, VNN was largely responsible for all of the web publicity. Now, this LaMonaco, it happens that in another case, fairly recently in Knoxville, had defended a bar owner who owned a bar called the Red Iguana. And the online article says that 80% of the customers were black, the clients at this strip bar, the Red Iguana in Knoxville. And they had so much crime there, and so many shootings and fights and serving underage and you name it, drug dealing, that the city tried to close it down. So LaMonaco was the attorney. And ironically, in his defense of the Red Iguana, they said that on their web presence, the Red Iguanas, they said exactly what their club rules are. And anybody could read it right there on the web. But now all of a sudden, the web's a bad thing when it comes to Eric Boyd.
All right. No simulating oral sex, for example, among the patrons. Yeah.
Oh, you found that one. Yeah, so it's interesting. It was just the contrary to what he's maintaining in our case. And specifically, by the way, they're objecting, I think, to this PDF file that was initially released by the police. And Alex knows, and he's talked about it often, that
They would not release the coroner's report and the autopsies of Shannon and Chris.
Then they, LaMonica says the blog spread lies and helped create an urban legend. Well, here's the lies.
She was chopped up. We weren't sure if she was chopped up. Why did it say that? Because the way the PDF was written, the police report, which is, it said something about five plastic bags. Now, that could have been five, you know, on top of each other. And they also said she was, what was the term they used? It wasn't butchered or wasn't cut. I think they did say cut up initially, didn't they? And
if she was stuffed in the thing,
half alive or half breathing, upside down or you name it, what is the difference? You're going to slice and dice it, you know? Come on. They raped Chris Newsom in the ass and wrapped him in a blanket, tossed him on the railroad tracks with gas and burned him up. Well, you know, if they didn't cut off his dick, or if they cut off his balls and not his dick, what is the big difference? Who cares? And the guy who wrote this article, he's also playing on the UK prejudices, because in their country, they do not allow any pretrial publicity, I believe. It's basically under great strictures compared to the United States system.
Well, this is the thing. The corrupt establishment will simply not face the facts about the consequences of Jew-built and gun-reinforced integration. The Jews who pushed this policy on us in the name of MLK and said, this is moral, this is good, this is progress. And when we point out, well, here's the facts, here's the result of your policy, they don't want to hear it. They call us evil haters for telling you the facts.
Racist.
And the Jews, who train the police officers that won't release the reports on what happened, and the media that won't cover it, won't write about it honestly, and then the defense lawyer turns around and blames us. How can we be to blame when we're the only ones talking about this crime? We said that he was mutilated. Now, whether, and in fact, they have now admitted that the bodies were mutilated. So whether they were mutilated in the original web report said, who knows? But as Craig says, what's the difference? The fact is they tortured, murdered, raped, and killed these people. That's a fact of the matter, and it doesn't matter where this trial is held. And we're not responsible for that. The niggers did it, and it ain't no urban legend, Philip A. LaMonica, or A. Philip LaMonica. It's not an urban legend. It's the urban truth. It's an urban truth that Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom were raped, tortured, and murdered by niggers. It's also,
you know, in one of your speeches,
that the bankrupt, the morally and financially bankrupt liar Jamie Satterfield at the Knoxville News Sentinel, she and her ilk are responsible for downplaying this crime and blaming it on people rather than niggers and the Jews who sick them on the white Knoxville population.
Yeah, the only urban
legend.
We
are the good guys for talking about it and bringing out the facts of interracial crime, which nobody else will do, but which are the telling fact of a physically, coercibly integrated society. We're trying to get society to face what it's become under the Jew. We're worried about terrorism. Goddamn, you know, this is another thing I saw over at Rockville. I was reading a report in the Rolling Stone. It was about these JTTFs, these Joint Terror Task Forces. And there's about 100 of them, and they got a couple hundred guys apiece, I think, and a total of 2,000. And they got one around Rockville, where there's all kinds of on-white attacks, black-on-white attacks, Mexican-on-white attacks. Where there's terrorism all over the place. The Shannon Christian thing is a perfect example of racial terrorism. Do the JTTFs under the FBI care about that? No. They sit around. They rent an office building at a very high price. They surround it with barbed wire. And they sit in there and they read all these foreign news reports. And then they go find some pitiful Arab who works in a video store and might have said one angry thing about America. And they give them a bunch of bogus or dead-end munitions. And then they pretend they made a major terror cell bust that's now running the country. And I say dipshit mentality. The Jews know what they're doing. But you sucker whites who believe that we're fighting terrorism by killing Iraqi citizens, you guys are fucking crazy. You're voting for McCain? You're fucking assholes. You're complete childish morons. You have smoked one up your ass every day of the goddamn year, and you like it. You're fucking losers. You want to talk to your fucking terrorism, man? They're under my bed, man. They come out. I put Bush McCain stickers around my bed, man. It's the only thing keeping me alive, man.
Terrorism, you sound like a white terrorist, there. Alex. I tell you, I'm pretty sure you're
these
a white
people
terrorist.
People are fucking there like little kids scared of imaginary monsters in their closet. The average American is the most cowardly, poltroonish creature on earth. Mencken said that like 80 years ago. He said they're the most sniveling, poltroonish cowards on the face of the goddamn earth. And that's the truth. Oh, terrorists are going to get me. It's not terrorists that's going to get you. It's these fucking niggers who have the law and the media backing them. That's what's going to get you. And it's demonstrably true. I don't have to make up little white terrorist task force and go around talking about it and pretending to fight it off. That's what's actually going on. The 40,000 rapes a year are not imaginary. I don't have to point to some, oh, they blew up our building. Look what they did, man. Yeah, you know what? There's a Mossad team in place taping that before it happened. Don't tell me about the fucking Arabs being the problem. The problem is Jews.
And rant for now, but yeah, absolutely.
The only urban legend surrounding the Shannon Christian Chris Newsom murder was that it was a carjacking gone wrong.
Yeah, it was a carjack.
There was technically an AP report at the very first which did not name the race. It was a very dearth of details, and they released it. Nobody picked it up nationally to speak of it. I don't think anybody did, actually. And they might have picked it up in Atlanta or some, the Constitution. Anyway, I remember because we were ragging the AP in Tennessee pretty heavily about it, and nothing would happen. And then when Michelle Malkin finally made some report about it, oh, you would have thought that she was the first one to find it. But by then, we had virally infected, so to speak, or infected is not the good word, but we were all over YouTube with it.
It was a week before the rally, Jane. They had to say something.
I guess so. Oh, the white supremacists are coming down. I wanted to mention Alex's speech. I don't think it was in Knoxville. It might have been. I think it was when you got up to Michigan and you were saying that we've had, 45 years to experience the content of their character that Martin Luther King talked about, and it stinks. And we don't need it. We don't want it, and we've had it. And,
yeah.
Mr. Obama notwithstanding.
Maybe both, but yeah. Yeah, this is the content of their character. This is what's in their hearts. You know, what's in their hearts is, okay, it's demonstrated. Leave aside the depraved ones that executed and carried out this act. Look at the nigger female who helped them midway. I mean, she wasn't even involved. She didn't get any sexual pleasure out of raping them or anything. I mean, look at the other nigger, LaMonica's guy, Eric Boyd. You know, if you raped and murdered someone, would you assume that you could call, like, your friend and say, hey, man, I got a black female in. You want to come over and have some fun, Craig?
Yeah, I'll ring you up, Alex. Fly over and get the jet. I caught one in town, and I get
the dispatcher. If I called Craig Rages, they'd be like, what the fuck, man? I mean, I'd be taking a real chance I'd be turned in, or at least I would have turned myself
in. They only have 100 niggers in the whole country here, and a third of the national nigger population is in our prison in Estonia.
Yeah, here's the thing, white people. Niggers know that if they have some white people caged up and are using them for fun, they know they can do anything to a white person, and a nigger will never turn them in. Yeah. It's just the way the Mossad knows. It can call in its Sionim, its little Jew helpers all around the world. It knows it will never be turned in because Jews are loyal to Jews, not to the local nation. That's just the host that they feed off. So Jews and niggers are loyal to their own group. They don't give a damn about the U.S. And it's the same thing with the nigger over in Kirkwood. Let's make the parallel there. His brother goes off and shoots a bunch of white people over some parking tickets. His brother's like, yeah, I'm cool with that. That's cool. He took out a bunch of whiteys. You know, maybe that is did he die from that?
Yes, he did.
You know, okay, he loses his loan. That's cool. As long as he took some whiteys with him, that's cool. And he has no shame to be quoted in the paper about that. He's not worried about
the papers are quoting him that he was getting saddled with slave taxes or something like that, on and on and on. They have all kinds of racial quotes the guy's made. But
So blacks hate whites. And the Jews who sick blacks on whites know that. And their media covers up the consequences of this evil called integration and civil rights. They're evil. They're not moral. They're not good. They're evil. And you dipshit Christians need to get that through your head. You are killing your own country.
Well,
but you know what? Most of the costs are actually borne by people who are like you. They're on the lower end. They're left half of the bell curve. They're the ones who have to deal with the fucking niggers. Have the niggers come in their community and mess them up.
You know what? The United States was 8 or 9% black in 1965 or 64 when they changed the law. And it was really orderly. In other words, we already had a multicult society. It was majorly multicult. And it was way more orderly and decent than what's going on now. It really was.
Well, there were the laws. When you have free association, then communities, individuals, neighborhoods, whatever division you want to make, can protect itself through those laws. It can say, nigger, God help your black ass if we catch you here after sundown. We don't want niggers around here. That's what free association means. It means you can go with your own people. You can do what you want, and you can exclude people. If you don't have the right to exclude people, then you don't have any rights whatsoever. And that's how it is these days. Not only do you not have the right to exclude people, you have to pay continual taxes just to keep the space that you do have. And who are you paying taxes to? Well, you're paying taxes to the same people who are inflicting niggers on you and inflicting a bullshit school curriculum called public education, which is more like slave indoctrination. So it all works to the ends of the Jews, and it all hurts you, normal whites. There's only one way out, and that is whites coming together and killing off the Jew who currently controls the country, controls all the major candidates, and has intimidated Ron Paul. They may not totally control him, but he's in their grip mentally, if no other way, even though though he speaks the truth about the Federal Reserve, he's still afraid to go against them on race. So we know for a fact that he believes in what the Jews denounce as racism.
Well, they force us to take these extreme positions, so-called extreme. They're not extreme at all. You know, we're totally under the thumb. We don't have any organization. We don't have any power to speak
Quite
of.
Quite the opposite, Greg.
Yeah.
Our position is extreme. Look, our position prevents 40,000 women from being raped a year. Theirs that those 40,000 get raped. Their prison policy of coerced integration is just a microcosm of larger society. They ensure that white men and women are raped and killed. Their policies ensure that.
That's right. All Americans ought to go to a white country like Estonia or Germany and fucking walk around for like 6 hours. Notice what's different.
We are the normal. They are the extremists. They are the bad guys. They are the evil doers. Knowingly doing evil. They know the results of their policies. They're not naive. They're not people who think, oh, it'd be so nice if this worked. They know going in that blacks will destroy white communities. They're not stupid, right?
And
Jews are smart. They know the results of these policies. It says, and read whether you believe it's fiction or nonfiction, it exists. It's the protocols of the elders of Zion. We will feed them policies that we know to be false. We will indoctrinate their kids in beliefs that we know to be false. That's how evil Jews are. That's what they do to your children. They knowingly teach him false doctrines that will seduce him, mislead him, and destroy his life, prevent him from seeing clearly. We knowingly teach them false doctrines. That's what they have in store for you. That's what the Jew means to you. You want to go around and talk about how they're God's chosen people? When they're saying stuff like that, you Christian?
How about this, talking about Chris and Shannon, and the people who killed him, a lot of whites will say, oh, there are a lot of decent black people. Oh, yeah, well, how come this hip-hop is like the culture of the day for, I don't know, how many years now, 18, 20? And getting worse and worse and just as foul and more widespread than ever. All these white kids, virtually all of them, that's a slight exaggeration, not by much. And so this is the template they follow, these lyrics and these messages, and we're supposed to act like this is normalcy. I'm just really sick of that. This culture or genre that's just nothing but filth and crap and degeneracy and murder and mayhem and disrespect of all people is really what it amounts to, hip-hop. Is it anything else? Just niggers
acting. People just surprise and pretend it's not happening. Like the culture isn't, I've said 1,000 times in a Goyfire, you know, they're making the nigger normal. They're niggerizing normality until everything is hoes and bitches. Yeah. And fuck and cursing.
Oh, hell, we're way more abnormal than the hip-hoppers, according to their Alice in Wonderland view of the world.
What do you white idiots that I see appeal to? You know, I'm not blaming Craig, but people who are more Craig's age, you know, maybe, oh, the guy, you know, the guys that Dennis Hopper is trying to appeal to in those, some retirement plan ad. What do you fuckers think about the world that you guys have left? You've had smoke blown up your asses your entire life. You've been you selfish fucking baby boomers. And look at the world that you're leaving for your grandkids. You proud of this civil rights? Look at what it's resulted in. It's a mess.
They're all heading to this personal nirvana.
Oh, they don't care. They don't give a shit.
Here's the thing, you guys.
Look,
if there's no metaphysical afterlife, this is what I think of. There's no metaphysical afterlife. If you accept that, and we are in the age of science, I mean, come on. And there's really no proof of it. And I think most reasonable people would agree when we're dead, we're dead. However, all that leaves, the only way for you to impel yourself through the futureness is through your offspring or through our people as a race. That's the only way we're going to impel ourselves into the future. It's not by some sort of, you know, you wake up and some bearded fucking kite god is there. Welcome, welcome. Glad you arrived.
Yeah.
Race is everything. Race is everything.
Just this diverge is a little bit. I watched something Craig had posted. I think they originally at podblank.com reposted on VNN three segments of the video about the first people in the Americas. And I just want to throw this in here as a little interesting tidbit for those of you who may be completely in the dark. All you've heard your entire life is that Native Americans were the first people in the Americas, but it's not true. And they know from these tools that they found, which specifically are spearheads created using a certain technology that dates back to 20,000 years ago in France. And these spearheads are found, made with identical techniques, are found throughout the Americas, predating even the time when the people did come over from Asia. This is part of the tradition that we're carrying on, of our people being on this continent. And we whites were actually the first ones here.
But they wiped us out. What happened?
They wiped us out. Yeah, it happens. I mean, people kill each other off. That's just how it is. But we want to make sure we're not the ones carried off. And if you don't have a religious faith, well, this is a chain that you can become a link in. White people existing for a hell of a long time, creating culture and bearing it around the world wherever they went, pretty much everywhere. Whites created the original culture. And the coloreds who prevail there now will have these ancient memories. of these white gods like they have down in Mexico. Well, those are the white people who brought them culture. And so, Craig, why don't you talk a little about that series? I wasn't sure where that came from.
They're called Euros Are the First Americans. Just now, Pod Blanca is down for a couple more days. We're adding servers, but it's a very good series, and it cites the Smithsonian digs in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and also in Virginia. And those, apparently the way you make these flint knives, it's very detailed, so they can back engineer how they were made, you know, they can tell that it's a highly detailed process, the way you hold the flint. Yeah, I'm sorry.
These are we're talking here about Clovis spear points.
Pre-Clovis.
And I'll just talk
about Clovis. Before 13,000 years.
Clovis spear points are found throughout North America, and it was always assumed they came from Asia, but one of the main researchers went over there and found that, Asians used a different technology than the technology which is used to produce these Clovis spear points, which is kind of bifacial napping means chipping. In. They make big flakes, they make little indentations, and they make a flute in the center of, you think of an arrowhead about 4 inches long, with a flute right in the middle. That's like a carved out shallow dish right in the middle where you would attach the stick and then bind it on, and then bifacial napping, and that's what creates this
serrated blade.
Yeah, serrated edges, and this is what you chuck at mammoths and stuff. Well, instead of being able to trace this big flake Clovis spearhead technology to Siberia, they traced it instead back to Europe, and they found that people were using that same big flake technique in Solutrean, France, 20,000 years ago. Iberia, not Siberia. The people came to the Americas before the last ice age when the Asians came over were Europeans. So Europeans were here before the Asians came here. We are the true Native Americans, is what that means.
Well, that changes everything, doesn't it?
It changes everything.
That Solutrean area is on the west coast of France, and in fact, there was an ancient geological collapse there, and you could look it up. And in fact, there are videos online, YouTube and Pod Blanc. We got them. We have them. And they have stone monoliths, Alex, and they have caves there, and they've explored these, and they're some of the oldest formations known in the Western world. I mean, the oldest archaeological remnants. And this is the same civilization that produced these knives you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
it's
are
very fast. Found all over North America. And just as a sign of how our government feels about the truth about white origins, which is a microcosm of how it feels about the truth about race and about really everything, white skeletons dating back to 9,400 years ago were found in, or a white skeleton was found in Kennewick, Washington, and it had one of these spear points in its hip, and it dated to 9,400 years ago. And I've said these knives were used all the way back to 20,000 years ago in France. So the point is there were whites here throughout North America until the Asians came in and essentially killed them off. But the Kennewick skeleton was found in a river in Washington, and it was studied by the scientists, and they discovered that it was a white man. It was a European in descent, because there are, despite the leftist claiming that race doesn't matter or even doesn't exist, there are, in fact, very easy ways to tell races apart from just little bits of bone. And this guy, James Chatters, established that it was, in fact, a white. Now, you will frequently see this Kennewick man referred to as an Asian or Polynesian, as the Jewish media tried to deflect away from the truth. But Chatters has admitted to people in private that, yeah, he said that to get some of the political pressure off him. But, in fact, this was a European. It was a white man that was here long before these things known as Native Americans today. But anyway, they later came in as the Ice Age ended 10,000 years ago. The Asians came in and apparently killed off the whites who had come over here from Europe. So that's what happened. We were the first ones to be genocided in America, and we were genocided by these Asians that came in. So don't believe the bullshit. And the area that this Kennewick man skeleton was discovered in Washington, the Clinton administration went in and dumped 500 tons of rock on it. So
the coconut fiber, which will leach down in there and ruin any remains.
That's their attitude towards facts and the truth. Mm-hmm. The Jewish attitude. We must destroy the white man's knowledge of his own origins. We must destroy him as a people. Just today I posted on BNN Forum, I posted a public service announcement from Norway, and it shows a white woman, and she's making all these nasty comments about blacks, and this very intelligent black man looks very modest and is carrying a briefcase, and she's zooming around trying to attack him, or some white guy is. This is how it feels to be black in Norway. This is all aimed to undercut our race, to claim it doesn't exist, yet it exists, and it's evil at the same time. Leftists are never bothered by contradictions. anything Jews can do to destroy us, to destroy our knowledge of our own origins, to destroy our belief in ourselves as individuals and as people, everything they will do to physically destroy us by sicking these inferior mud races on us, they do that. And they cover up the results. They lie about everything. This is the country we live in today.
And we just saw that in the Ron Paul, how they lied in the media day after day to us all. So that's fresh in our memories. Yeah,
well, looking at, again across the pond at Germany and lying, we have here the headline, Holocaust Revisionist Lawyer Jail. And this is a German court has sentenced the former lawyer of Ernst Sandel to 3.5 years in prison for denying the Holocaust herself. This is Sylvia Stoltz. So even the lawyer of Sandel is now being thrown in jail. For supposedly denying the Holocaust. Stoltz called the Holocaust, quote, the biggest lie in world history, unquote.
I would say that's accurate. I want to draw attention at beinginformed.com. I set up a new sub-forum. It's basically an archive for free speech martyrs, and Sylvia Stoltz and Ernst Sandel figure in there prominently. They are victims of these thought crimes laws that the Jews have gotten passed in a lot of Europe, in for example, France, Germany, Austria, and I think another 8 states in Europe, it is illegal to, you know, some variant of shedding doubt on the Holocaust, which is basically whatever organized Jewry wants to claim about World War II. If you express any doubt about their view or you express a dissenting opinion, you can get thrown in jail. This woman was a lawyer of a guy who got thrown in jail for 5 years. She gets thrown in jail for 3.5 years. Why? Because she doesn't hate Germany like the tools now running Germany do. She's standing up and defending Germany against these historical lies perpetrated by the Jews. Or I shouldn't say historical, these lies perpetrated by the Jews as history, when in fact the Jews know that they are lying.
She says, how can one deny something that never existed? She made the beautiful statement, and it's chronicled here on VNN. You have a record of it in the thread called Germany. Sylvia Stoltz's last words in court. Yes.
This is, you want to know what a big lie is, you people out there? If we have new listeners, and I know we do, you've heard the term big lie, but you probably never thought about what it meant. There was a time when I was in my early 20s, and the guy, I forget his name, he used to run those advertisements about the Holocaust and doubting it. Bradley Smith, Committee for Open Debate on the Holocaust, he used to run these advertisements. Our newspaper rejected it. I had a Jewish female editor, and I thought, oh, that's reasonable. I can see where she wouldn't want to run something that was questioning the Holocaust. I mean, it's obviously true, and who could doubt it? And I'm a smart guy. I went to a very high-end college. Never even occurred to me that someone could lie about such a thing, right? That's what a big lie is. It's so big that simple little you can't conceive that it could be lied about. But yet, that's the very thing that allows the big lie to be put across. They can lie about the Holocaust. The Holocaust is an invention of Jewish communists. They claimed it during World War I. In their own books, they claimed that the Romans killed billions. I'm not exaggerating. Literally billions of Jews back in Roman times. They claimed in World War I that 6 million Jews were killed. They claimed in World War II that 6 million Jews were killed.
Yeah, in the Bible, there's so many lies. Yeah, all these Malthusian, all these guys lived to be 900 years old. What the fuck is that? When I was a little kid, I used to ask my mom, "Why? What happened? You know, why did we go downhill so quick? You know, what happened? Yeah. 800 years of life. It's just a lot of poppycock crap. You know, you might as well be reading Mother Goose. Come on,
lies. People. They have the records from these camps, and they found that, yeah, there were a few tens of thousands of people who died, and many of them were Jews, but they weren't dying from being gassed. Nobody was gassed. They were dying from being sick and just general bad wartime conditions.
Yeah, maybe 200,000 or
300,000. Right? You've got the Allies bombing all the railroad tracks. You've got them bombing all the population centers. They hardly have any food, and yet they still somehow managed to keep fairly sane, stable, and sanitary conditions at these camps where they're keeping people like some Jewish communists and other criminals who are disrupting their war effort. They did not kill any 6 million Jews. They certainly didn't gas any. The actual numbers are known, and what they've done is they've not only thrown in jail anybody who expresses a dissenting opinion, they've thrown in jail men who have carried out forensic procedures to prove that they did not gas people. Fred Luchter, an American engineer, is one example. They didn't throw him in jail, but what they did was they discredited him and prevented him from getting work in his field, which was making executions more humane. He went over there and tested for cyanide and had the rock that he chipped out of Auschwitz sent to a private lab, which proved there was no cyanide used in the walls of what the Jews said were gas chambers. Another guy currently in jail is a German PhD, a chemist named Germar Rudolph, who's in jail for essentially proving the Holocaust never happened. It's a giant lie. They didn't gas anybody. You know what? If they had truth on their side, you better believe they would have got it out to defame this guy. And if they had truth on their side, you wouldn't find all these people called revisionists, or as I would think they should call themselves, factualists, because they stick to the facts. And then they say they're Nazis, they're racist, they're haters. Most of these people, they're actually liberals, or they're simply just honest men. There is no political unity in the people who've been thrown in jail for doubting the Holocaust. They're simply a basic Aryan honesty, is I guess the way I would put it. A basic Aryan honesty and a dislike of being defamed that makes them look to establish the actual facts before they start making opinions about it. And when you actually look to establish the facts, you find that the Holocaust fades off into thin air. Because it's a bunch, as she says, it's the biggest lie in world history. And these same Aryans who, you know, they fight over a dime and they clip coupons and they want to be reimbursed for everything, and they can't believe how some Jew could invent a lie that would result in hundreds of billions of dollars flowing from stupid sucker goyim like themselves into Jewish purses. The Jews just laugh at you. They think you're idiots. We have a guy in Vienna Informa who says, yeah, I used to work in a Jewish camp when I was a kid, and the kids would sit around talking about how their fathers had defrauded various people and laughing about it. Jews take pride in that. They take pride themselves in lying and scamming people. Well, the Holocaust is the ultimate money scam, in the same way that 9-1-1 is the ultimate act of chutzpah, the ultimate act of terrorism. It's all these things are scams designed to fool us and to get us to waste our blood and treasure in defense of Israel. That is a foreign people. A people that is not only, they're not only foreign, they're opposed to us. They're our enemy. The Jews are our enemy. They are not the chosen people of God. They are our enemy. That's just another scam that they use to trick you idiotic Christians and your bought preachers. For God's sakes, think.
And by the way, if you're a 12 or a 14 or a 16-year-old,
don't accept what your cock-sucking, cock-smoking preacher says. He's bought.
If you admire any of these people like Sylvia Stolz or Ernst Zundel or Germer Rudolph or Matt Hale or any of them, maybe you're a smart young kid who's on the internet and you're figuring things out, and you write them a letter, you'll be on a terrorist list. How's that? You'll say, I really admire your honesty for sticking up, even if you, even though you might be wrong. You might even write them that. Even though I think you might be wrong, or but at least you're honest to speak your mind, they'll put you on a terror list.
Here's the thing. An honest man can use evidence to prove his case. He doesn't need to lock anybody up. The truth does not require prison walls to defend itself. It self-defends. All you have to do is put it out there and say, no, here's she's wrong. Here's a list of 6 million people killed. Here's the blueprint of a gas chamber. Here's how they did it. Well, they can't do that. And that's why they lie. Oh, it's the most documented event in human history.
Well, they're still having more
they
sell
precisely
zinc
because they have no documentation of it. All they have is a bunch of lying eyewitnesses. Some of these people will claim they were gassed multiple times. I mean, there is no ceiling to the ridiculousness of Jewish claims about what happened to them in World War II. Every single
Alex,
Jew would tell, everybody in my family died except me.
They have officials from the EU right now going to Israel, Alex, and they're exactly trying to stop what we're talking about on Goyfar and all over the internet. They do not want us to fight back against them. They're going to criminalize that. They just put the poster exterminus in jail in Canada for 4 months. With 44 days time served. And then they fine him $6,000. Take all your computer equipment. You're isolated. Then you cannot go on the internet for 5 years. I've forgotten.
Yeah.
And they're doing this in country after country and case after case. And
Craig, that's why I made in VNInform.com, go to general discussion under there and look under free speech, look under speech martyrs, and I have these individual cases sticky. For those of you who are honest and you're starting to wake up a little, you're a little concerned, you've never really heard of this stuff, it sounds kind of wild and crazy. Look, like I say, it's doubt us. Feel free to doubt what we're saying, but go double check what we're saying, read up, and you will see in one place all these people who've all been thrown in jail. And what have they been thrown in jail for? Like Craig says, maybe they're printing the facts about race and crime in Toronto and they're thrown in jail. They're exposing minorities to hate. Maybe they're disputing a fact of World War II history and they're thrown in jail for years. Why? Because they have an opinion that has been outlawed. Why is the opinion outlawed? Well, you don't outlaw lies. If this woman is lying, if these guys are lying, if these chemists are lying, these engineers are lying, well, then that ought to be pretty easy to prove. The Jews control the media. They can trap the truth right on out there. No, they don't. All they trot out is a long string of adjectives.
Sometimes, as you may or may not know, criminals will pretend to be your friend. Have you ever had that happen? You know, someone call you up cold on the phone and say something, and then later you read in the paper that they were a big a criminal scam, you know, an unlicensed contractor, you name it. You know, somebody who tries to get on your door and get you to write a check for a charity that doesn't exist. This is really what Jews are doing. They mask this to be tikkun olam, which is their word for improving the world. And if you're gullible enough to believe this, and if you're gullible enough to believe all these fairy tales in the Bible about people living 800 and 900 years and blowing horns and the walls fall down and all this kind of poppycock, well, then you'll go for this too. And if you believe that orthodoxy that 2,000 years later still hangs on, you'll probably believe the orthodoxy that mean people or people who are too critical of other people should not be allowed to quack. That's terrible. That's one of the worst things. Of course, unless you're a nigger singing about hip-hop, that's great. Throw them $10 million. But it's going to continue. And as I was mentioning just a few moments ago, they have these, I think they're called Helsinki conferences or something. In any case, all they are is EU officials now scouring all around. And where do they go, the fount of all this teaching? They fly straight into Israel, and they're tutored by some sort of Israeli expert. You know, the Holocaust is thrown in, you name it. And Mossad is also one entity that is also very busy around the world. They're probably the ones that just recently cut that cable going into Iran, that undersea cable. And why? Because the Germans were forced to give them several submarines, very high-tech submarines, by which they could easily accomplish that task.
Yeah, I mean, the Jews, they're such humanitarians. They're walling in Gaza. They're,
yeah, you know, the new wall for Egypt now, too, Aegis.
Yeah, they're blowing up the fences that surround them to get critical items such as gasoline and fresh water and other things. Cement. I saw part of that video. Guys were just hauling cement in donkeys to build things. And yeah, these Bush are the humanitarians that are going to lecture the EU about...
But they're able to do it because they foist themselves off as being the most swell, equalitarian, best kind of person you just want to have around at all times. And they do oftentimes have a patina of, I won't call it self-effacing, but, genial, very genial, very relational, very friendly. And they're the most political people on earth by far. There's just hands down no comparison whatsoever with anybody. The people running Clinton's campaign are Jews, at least the wife of the lead guy.
Well, they're always trying to make the association that anyone who's anti-Israel is a neo-Nazi.
Yeah, that's right. And politics is the organization of people along group interests. Well, what group? What is the United States? As Alex said, it's just an amorphous big mass of... show me the money. And we've got the money. But there's no unifying factor. And how can anybody believe that all these ideas about truth, idealism, freedom, and all this nonsense, there's no United States. Yeah, I mean, it exists. And they had a history. We had a history, particularly pre-1965. But with the increase of information, it's really quite changed. There are institutions and there are corporations that produce pretty marvelous products, and there are no doubt. And there's a ruling class of very moneyed people. I would say under them a ruling class of very highly scientifically educated people. But a lot of what they're producing is war armaments to just wipe out literally millions of peoples. How can the people who just killed 1.2 million people consider themselves moral? I mean, there's a conundrum for you, but they don't have any problem in the United States. And they're looked upon even now. Europeans really look down on them. And there's going to be like a white diaspora. I think there really is now. And in the United States, it's in the worst advanced stages, because at least over here in these smaller European countries, they can have their small nationhood and their idea of, they know their history back to 1200 or, pre that. In fact, it goes back to Neolithic times. But what I mean is, there's some continuity of a people there. And Americans have been told that they should take pride that they don't have that continuity, or they have that, but they also have all this other wonderful diversity, which is all just a lot of, when you get right down to it, boil it down, it's constant barragement with media, which has affected people's minds. And this is why, I know this is why in Paul Blanc, and I'm sure VNN too, they want to increase media. And, we're pissing in the wind, but we don't have much choice except to do it. We're an extreme minority on the planet, 8% of the people, and we have the right to continue, and we have the right to, keep ourselves the same way as the Jews. There have been recent articles. In fact, one Jew on VNN, or pardon me, on Pod Blanc, edit that, Aegis, please. There's a guy on YouTube who's making very teaching videos about this, and he says, what about if an Englishman were simultaneously a Frenchman and simultaneously a German and simultaneously American, and he could just fly in and out of these countries? Yes, first and most of all, he was an Englishman, but he also could go to all these other countries, just go in seamlessly and do business. Well, this is how the Jews are operating in the United States. The Israelis, people like Chertoff, are literally dual citizens. They have the papers. It's not just that their mothers by the right of return. They have the papers.
Yeah, and that was the Dietrich Eckhart vid that went up to Pop,
exactly,
where he mentions the World Congress of Jewry in Philadelphia in 1919, which stipulates the Jews are citizens in the countries they live and every other country as well.
Every other country. Well, here's the thing. It's a neat trick if you can pull it. I'd love that. You fly all over all the white countries and say, I'm home.
Good points about dual citizens. And, a lot of this you read between the lines, and sometimes those of you who aren't fully Jew aware, pay attention to this. You'll see, like, the Jews at ADL have a special report on Venezuela and Chavez, and they don't like him because he's had the cops go in and bust the Jewish center a couple of times looking for guns because the Jews are very hostile to Chavez because he's friendly with Iran and he's anti-U.S. and they run the U.S. And, you'll see little remarks like, well, if the Jews feel particularly fed up there, a lot of them will just go up to Miami or southern Florida. And, you never, it's just assumed like Jews can go wherever they want to go and move there and there's no problem. But whites can't simply leave South Africa and go to Britain. But Jews always, they always have special laws because they have such a strong lobby. They pass these special laws that allow them basically to go anywhere in the world with full legal rights and, in fact, more privileges than the native citizens have.
Right. Instant welfare.
And instant welfare. Yeah, they have Jackson-Vanik Amendment, so the special rules for getting Jews out of the Soviet Union and coming to the U.S.
Jews.
And special tax laws for so-called Holocaust victims, where they don't have to pay money for any kind of the restitutions. I mean, it's a bunch of garbage there. I want to make one more point about the Sylvia Stoltz. The use of the photos, like we saw when I was in court, they had the guy hectoring me with his finger, is what it appeared to be. And it was deliberately staged and set up that way by the court reporter and the guys with the local news channel. Well, here they have Sylvia Stoltz, and they have a picture of her looking real smug and superior-like, so that the average guy thinks, there she's getting, her haughty attitude goeth before a fall. Now, how do you like being in jail, bitch? Every person during the day, there are times when they make different faces, and they always use the ones that make the white person look bad. So instead of saying, oh, there's a nice-looking middle-aged woman who's clapped in jail for having an opinion for 3 years, instead of thinking that, you think, oh, good, they're cutting her down to size. Deny the Holocaust, will you, bitch? See how you enjoy bread and water for the next 3.5 years. So always be aware of how you're being manipulated to the extent you possibly can. And if you're reading mainstream so-called stuff, you are being manipulated.
Right. Even on all the way down to the pictures you see and the pictures don't see.
Yeah. Oh, very definitely down to the pictures, starting with the pictures. I mean, always question yourself, why is the story framed in this way and how might it be otherwise framed? Holocaust revisionist lawyer jail. What's the bottom line here? She's being put in jail for expressing an opinion. Why isn't it a free speech issue? Why isn't it framed as a matter of free speech versus Jewish dictatorship? Doesn't Germany have written into its law that it has freedom of opinion? Well, of course it does. Well, doesn't that conflict with throwing someone in jail for holding an opinion? Well, of course
it
does.
They've succeeded in scaling down their equivalent to their freedom of speech for our First Amendment. And as they do that to us, just as they did with the Second Amendment, that's what they'll do with H.R. 1955 and S. 1959. And
think about this, people listening to this. The Jews always try to chip away at freedoms they don't like because the freedoms are Aryan and Jews are natural totalitarians. They have something like 613 commandments that they're supposed to follow. That's what the Torah is. It's a bunch of rituals guiding every single itty-bittiest aspect of daily life. Well, they want that for non-Jews. That's what they want for Jews. They want 619 times 10 for non-Jews. They want to control every little thing you do. And that's why they want centralized power, because that's the only way they can enforce these controls. Make sure that everybody talks, thinks, and acts and behaves the way that is seen fit by the Jews ruling the society. That means holding the right opinions. And if you don't, you better shut up. You're going to be clapped in jail like Sylvia Stoltz and Ernst Zundel. And the point I want to make is if there are existing freedoms, the Jews come into a settled situation and they mess it up. The settled situation they came into the U.S. was that we had a Bill of Rights that included freedom of speech. It secured freedom of speech and it secured the right to bear arms. So what do they do? Well, they chip away at it. They say, there's free speech. Free speech means pornography. Now, they don't put it like that, but that's how they act. Free speech means Larry Flint and his right to publish a picture of, the late Jerry Falwell's mother sitting in an outhouse toilet. That's free speech. They try to redefine free speech as pornography, and they try to define political speech as hate. And with guns, what do they do? Let's call them assault. It's an animalistic approach. They want to, an anthropomorphic approach. They want to turn inanimate objects into criminals and turn criminals into passive victims. So they never blame niggers for anything. They blame guns. It's always gun crime and assault guns that are the problem. So if it's not, we don't want to ban free speech. We want to ban hate speech. They create these subsets of something existing and protected and use that as a way to put that part off. Oh, this isn't speech. It's hate speech or it's commercial speech. We don't want to ban guns. We just want to ban assault guns, assault rifles. Guns can't assault anybody without human finger pulling the trigger. So you have to be aware of how they use these terms. They design these terms to fool you and to manipulate you into yielding your rights and your money and your power to them. If they have the money and they have the media and they have the guns, what do you have? You have chains around your ankles and around your wrists. That's the situation they attempt to put us into, first verbally and then physically.
Right. Well, we have a story from down under. That is Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The headline is Judge Blocks Holocaust Float. There will be no simulated pile of naked corpses and no dancing Hitler at the world's biggest street party. A judge yesterday blocked a carnival float meant to show the Holocaust. The Rio Samba group responsible for the float said it was designed to remind carnival goers of past horrors to stop them from happening again. Jewish leaders were outraged.
You know what? It's unfortunate we don't have the other story that has the words of the judge, because basically he said Jews are offended by this, so it can't be allowed. I mean, what fucking law is that? So here's these idiotic brown people who are innocently trying to placate the, we make a float. You can just imagine that. There is a picture on the web of the float. It's absolutely hilarious.
The corpses are kind of brown, by the way.
There's these brown piled up emaciated corpses. And then, just imagine this in the midst of the crazy carnival parade. I mean, it would have been the funniest thing on earth. And the Jews correctly realized what a ridiculous, this would have been the one accurate staging of the Holocaust.
The carny float.
The one thing to put it in the right context that these Browns innocently stumbled into, being kind of stupid. The Jews were offended. They raced to a judge, and the judge blocked it for no real legal reason, just because the Jews were going to be offended. And
I think we ought to put a few hundred of those plastic mannequins in a cattle truck and drive it around with the Kenworth in the U.S. See if you get out of one state before they give you 10 years.
what's the Greek word for rule by Jewish whim? Jewish velleity. There's a good vocabulary word. This slight inclination of velleity, Whatever they want, we'll just cook up a law on the spot, ex post facto, and we'll declare it illegal.
That same school down there, now they've changed their thematic to free speech. They're doing something having to do with free speech, so they did react to it, but they were totally ingenuous at first, as I understood it. They weren't mocking or anything. And, I looked at videos, by the way, of, I think it was AP or Reuters, of that fair, and I thought, what? It would zoom in, it would show like a white man dancing with a black or something, then zoom in and then zoom out. I thought, this looks just like the United States. This might be L.A. or New York or, you name it, St. Louis. Atlanta? Black, about a third white, and the rest of them kind of mixed brown. And
this is carnival. This is a wild, crazy brown mixed with black. You know how Brazil is? It's got a lot of black background. Most of the slaves didn't go to the U.S. They went to the Caribbean and to South America. So you've got all these crazy black and brown people and flowers and people stripped because it's hot and they're dancing around crazily. And then you've got the Holocaust, which, we were supposed to pull the long face and cry the tears and put on a little hate hat. And go, wow, yeah, they killed God's people. So it's kind of a juxtaposition. They don't really go together that well unless you appreciate irony and truth.
Little Sam and
the Holocaust
back in the
is a giant cartoon fucking joke to the rest of humanity. imagine these big-bootied Brazilian dancers who are, 45, 50th, completely naked, dancing around. And then this fucking float of these dead rat Jews piled up in a fucking box. I mean, it's too goddamn funny, really.
It's genius, it really I tell you. Funny. Genius.
They should have played Every Party Loves a Pooper. That's why I invited you on the top of that float out of a big megaphone or something. That would have been fun.
Here, okay, I found another one. Let me read some of these quotes here. See, Rio's two-night samba parade features thousands of scantily clad and elaborately plumed dancers. I mean, this is like some Vegas show, strip show, right? So you get the... Okay, let me see here, because there's some quotes here. Jewish leaders were outraged. The Jewish Federation of Rio de Janeiro sued under federal laws prohibiting Nazi propaganda and racism in Brazil. So, see, I didn't even know they had those laws down there. It is inadmissible that they could have a float depicting dead Jews and a live Hitler on top of them, said Federation spokesman Jose Reutberg. Yeah. So imagine this pile of dead Jews and Hitler dancing on top of them. I mean, that's a totally Latin-like conception of Sean Respect Party. Victims. Gotta admit, that would have been fucking classic, though.
They had the whole thing built. Video circulating.
Hold on. The designer of the float, Paulo Barros, wept as workers tore it apart. It said the group meant no disrespect by depicting Holocaust victims. This is an extremely serious work, and people think we're mocking. He said, tears streaming from his eyes. We're going to speak now of the Rio de Janeiro State Judge Juliana Calixtein. Now, what kind of a Brazil? Yeah, there's a classic Brazilian name, Calixtein, Calixtein, called the float a clear trivialization of barbaric events. Carnival should not be used as a tool for the cult of hate, any form of racism, the judge said. I mean, what an absolute joke. So basically, you know, they disallowed this float. This guy put all of his artistic talent into creating.
Well, they not only disallowed it, but they ordered it destroyed.
You guys, Byron was telling me about this new film. It was at Robert Redford's Idaho thing up there. Sundance, pardon me, not Idaho.
Sundance, Utah, not Idaho.
Yeah, right. I get them mixed up. Anyway, you made this film. It's Mondo Baller or something it's called. And I looked it up. And talking about one Jew moving. So his dad, I think, was from New York City, Brooklyn or something. He decided to move to Rio de Janeiro. So he just ups and moves. So the son goes down and visits him. So he's looking around Rio and everything. And he realizes how different the society is. So he does a story about how the people down there, they have to... The rich people get around by helicopter. Why? Because there are too many kidnappings down on the street. So all these high-rises have helipads all on top of them, see? And then up on top, on VNNforum.com, they had the picture of the slums up on the hillside. They said it's the slum with the best view in the world, looking out over the Atlantic, you know, the blue Atlantic. And they're up there with mudslides. And then also, as part of the theme of this movie, the Jew had a frog farm that some corrupt guy had used to funnel, money stolen from the government. He was a government official. And in the frog farm, they were cannibals. And so the big frogs would eat the little frogs. And I thought, well, there's a sort of an allegory for Jewish power in the world. This was the whole thing of the movie, you know, and it's got a lot of flash fast graphics and everything, and it's really, look, there's no Brazil coming to the United States. The United States is Brazil. What the fuck's the difference? Tell me, you know?
I think the economy's on a more solid footing. In Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil's a little stronger down there with their new oil find offshore and their weapons, yeah.
Hey, I find a little more on this now. Let's see. Okay. Each group chooses the theme reflected in music, costumes, and floats. Vera Duro, which is scheduled to parade early Monday, chose a theme, It Gives You Goosebumps, featuring floats depicting the shock of birth and cold, along with a pile of Holocaust victims. Although the samba group refused to say whether it had planned to have a dancing Hitler, it was listed in the official parade description as part of the float. According to Calixtein's decision, that's the judge, the group would face fines of $113,000 if it ignored her order by parading with the mannequins, and $28,000 for each dancer dressed as Hitler.
You mean they had multiple Hitlers dancing?
Wow. Well, I mean, if one dancing Hitler is good, Craig. mean,
$28,000.
You can't have too many dancing Hitlers.
Man, Charlie Chaplin would be doing a long prison term these days, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that's cheap for a Hitler
can't
impersonator.
Can't have too many dancing Hitlers.
What's the going rate in Hollywood? It's at least $50,000.
You know, we raised $150,000. They could parade one float full of mannequins pretending to be Jewish corpses and one dancing Hitler on top of it.
You know, contrasting this, if I could relate a little happier story that's a little similar... over in Venice at their carnival, they had rapper Coolio lowered where they usually had a traditional white angel. So they sent Coolio over there in some oversized, super dark shades and lowered him down like a monkey. It was hilarious. I saw the video. And so this is what the world's coming to.
Yeah.
Yeah, real symbolic. Well, anyway, speaking of nigger normal, we have the French vote passed on EU treaty. This is in Sarkozy, France. More than 900 MPs and senators voted on Monday to delete a reference in the French Constitution to the ill-fated EU constitutional treaty. A no vote in France and the Netherlands in 2005 sounded the death knell for the EU Constitution. France is due to complete ratification of the new treaty this week. Although most socialists abstained, 560 MPs and senators voted in favor of the amendment, and another 181 opposed it, easily passing the necessary 60% margin required. Although opinion polls in France suggest the majority of voters would prefer to have another referendum, Sarko has called for a speedy ratification before France takes on the EU presidency in July.
And what does the Constitution say? You can't talk against...
But what does this mean? What does it mean to whites?
Well, we have an identity, sovereignty, and tradition group within the EU, but they don't seem to be doing much because they just passed that hate law that it's going to take effect now in about 18 months after all the, 23 member states ratify it, and they can put us in prison for, I think it's 1 year minimum, 1 to 7 years, at least 1 year. I think it starts out six months.
Across the EU?
Yeah. So if you run down niggers, you run down Jews, or you fight back is what it comes down to, as you've often said. What do you say? If you can't talk about it, it's not freedom. And if you fight back against the Jews, it's hate. Those are two of your favorite sayings. I hope I'm not paraphrasing them too badly. But
what laws does Estonia have, and is Estonia part of the EU? I'm revealing.
Yeah, Estonia is part of the EU, but Estonia has these things, but they don't enforce them. And curiously, they haven't bothered me. And I think because they have a strong recognition of a people's cultural rights. For example, I went to one place here. Some artists had a little performance, and they allowed them to set up a little private bar. And the same thing for bikers. I was at one of those. And in my case, I'm telling you, I was inculcated. People my age, Alex, and even some your age, we were inculcated with this First Amendment. It was like a quasi-religion. When you're a kid, sixth, seventh grade, ninth grade, seventh, ninth grade are two of the big boosts. I mean, we had major, major hours of lectures about this. And I'm sorry, but I really believe it. You know, it's just Aryan tradition, and it's what I believe, and also as a creator. So, but Estonia hasn't enforced a lot of the laws. There's some left on from Soviet times about being critical of other people. But this new law, look, the EU controls the most powerful currency in the world. Now, I would say, in light of what's happening, it happened, which is the dollar, and what people know about it. In my opinion, even in the markets, the euro is more powerful than the dollar. So now they have this federal organization, and as you say, this is what Jews like. So they get these officials from the EU. They're flying into Israel, for Christ's sakes. What the fuck are they going to Israel for? Little podunk shit.
Okay. I want to get from ages. What does this mean to white people? Let's look at it like a Jew. Is this good for Jews? Is it good? Is it good for whites? What does this mean?
Well, basically, it means it's a furtherance of a supranational governmental layer of bureaucrats and their constitution, which was not, I repeat, not ratified by a popular referendum, either in France or in the Netherlands. That means the people rejected it. They rejected this constitution. They didn't.
So are they trying to slam something onto the people of Europe against their wishes?
That's.
But in their name?
Yeah, that's
you
it.
You mean like immigrants?
It sounds like
countries?
The United States, for Christ's sakes. We have affirmative action, open borders, and crazy foreign wars, regardless of what the people want.
Yeah, and so basically it's just them overriding the will of the people, and on a mass scale. I mean, Europe has never been this subjective.
Okay, just now tell me. Now, as an American, I don't know very much. I live out here in, let's say, Kansas. Yeah, that's the ticket. Let's say I don't know jack shit about squat other than pulling the tops off corn, which I believe is now automated. But anyway, are there any countries in Europe that are not part of the EU?
Sure.
Well, Switzerland is theoretically still not part of
Norway, Moldova, Montenegro.
Are there campaigns in those countries to become part of the EU, or are they pretty much happy with the way things are?
Both. I mean, they're getting pressured internally and externally to conform to EU norms, which, of course, are norms only because they've been created out of thin air. So, for example, Switzerland is being pressured by the EU-controlled banks to give up its privacy policies in regards to depositors. They want to know who's depositing money in Switzerland, for example.
Are they veiling that as an anti-terror measure? Or?
Of course, yeah, anti-terror and also...
That would be parallel to our Patriot Act stuff,
right,
over
just,
here.
Just the fighting criminality in general, tax evasion, etc.
Just as we have in the United States, they're a seamless thing all over the world. Just as the Russian Jews, the Jimmy Carter Jews, a lot of them are billionaires. I researched that billionaire list on Forbes's 40 of the top 100 billionaires are Jews in the United States. And a lot of those, Alex and Aegis, are Russian Jews. And you know what? I was reading an article, too. I think it was one of them you linked, Alex. And it said that in Israel itself, 4.8 of the 5.4 or 5.6 million Jews there are Russian and Pole Jews. So they're just it's just like a huge international-wide criminal syndicate. And then they get F-15s from the United States, and they can go bomb these poor peasants. They control the whole city of Hebron in the West Bank, the center of the city. And Bush was just there, and he says, oh, yeah, they have to have it set up, all these checkpoints. It's unbelievable. Have you seen a map of the West Bank? I mean, it just looks like a... I don't know. It looks like a digital chip or something. Only the lines are all diagonal, and they're all, you know, everything's controlled. Even leftists are waking up to it. But the problem is how do you get rid of these people? You try to talk against them, and you're evil. And they get these kids to believe this crap.
Yeah, it's got to be done one at a time on the Internet. I mean, this new hate bill that they have, and they said, you know, we have ceded this new area to, you know, our opposition, but there's no need for this to be a permanent condition. This needn't be a permanent condition. So that's how they look at the Internet. The Internet got around them and allowed whites to communicate with whites without a Jewish filter, and they want to change that. Mm-hmm. How do they do that? Well, they excite public fears of terrorism. Well, Joe Average, well, Joe Public, this is the way that these radicals, these crazy people, these Arabs and these crazy Nazi evil, just watch TV, you'll see what I mean. This is how they radicalize people. They use the Internet to talk to them, teach them very dangerous stuff. So we really need to clamp down on the Internet. So that's the Jewish tack.
Yeah. So when people think that there's really not global control, I mean, they have comedians laughing at this stuff about we say it's global control, despite the fact that we can show all the billionaires, all the Zionist money, all the support they've made, the Bronfman family, predicting the Iraq war before, and Les Wexner, who owns Victoria's Secret, in that thing called Emet, E-M-E-T, which I think means supposedly truth in Yiddish or Hebrew. And we just showed one fact after the other, and we've just seen the demonstration with how they iced out Ron Paul very assiduously and methodically.
Well, you're just a tinfoil hat-wearing nut, Craig.
Yeah. They do have us on one thing. We're kind of like white peons, the most of us, but we're numerically there are a lot of us, but...
Yeah,
you're taught the dolts to respond to anyone who questions the official line.
Yeah,
as a raving nut, a wing nut, a moon bat, conspiracy theorist, or a tinfoil hat wearer.
Yeah.
I should say and instead of or.
We could convert to Judaism and enjoy the fruits, but they don't take convertees.
except for those Judaism. You know, we were talking about a story on Free Talk Live the other night about a few carloads of niggers from Cairo, Illinois, of all places, have converted to Judaism.
Uh-huh. Hallelujah!
I post a couple links from some Jewish Light or something at some St. Louis Jewish paper, and some of these Jews are even naive. Oh, we need to help our newfound brethren. you can bet your bottom dollar they'll be available to accept all help.
Hey, Jim, we had a video up. What was that? It was like either the Black Gangster Disciples or what was that? There was a church in New York City where they all had.
Oh yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, they all dressed like the pharaohs. You guys have to see that. I've forgotten the name of it, but it was pretty popular.
Yeah, they have the Star of David everywhere.
Yeah, the guy tried to shake hands. They sent that Thoreau's kid, Thoreau the travel writer. You know his kid. Some say he's a Jew. The same one who interviewed April.
And the BBC report.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I think he's just French. But anyway, I used to think he was. But anyway, he goes into New York City. It's just hilarious. And they're browbeating about how who they say was a black. And then they said the one guy, he says, I'll tell you somebody who's a black. He says he looks white. He sings black. And everybody thinks he's white. And it's Tom Jones. They had everybody. Henry VIII, he's black, I think, on and on and on. Shakespeare, he's black.
Yeah, who was white? I'm trying to
think. Saying about Bush.
Nixon, he was white, I think.
Must be a nigga.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. Some people say Obama's going to have an all-black Secret Service guard. I don't think it'll be that bizarre, but yeah.
Well, before we get back to the States, we still have one European story. Russia reports baby boom in 2007. Moscow, the Health and Social Development Minister, said Friday that in 2007, Russia had the highest number of births since 1991. Mm-hmm. Russia has not seen such a baby boom for 15 years, the highest number of births since 1991, saying that 1.6 million babies were born last year, up 122,750 against 2006.
Remember, they had the drive. They paid people to have babies.
Yeah, the official praised presidential maternity incentives improved last year, including higher payments for mothers of children under 18 months, benefits for unemployed mothers, and payouts of about $9,500 for the birth of two or more children.
That's great. Just think what it would be like out there, guys, if all these model types and everything were all cavorting around, you know, your local hood. Instead of fat Hottentots and Mexican beater squats.
Maria Sharapovas.
Yeah. I just think how easy it would be to get a girlfriend. They'd probably be fighting over you. But no.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. You know, it's a proven principle. What you tax, you get less of. What you subsidize, you get more of. Now, you can use your money. You can take money from whites and civilized colonies of savages. Or you can take money from whites and subsidize colonies of whites, of humans.
They pay them right here in Estonia. They pay these girls for the first year, I think. I think it's 1 year. And they give them something like $450 a month, which you can live on here. You know.
So they're saying that, okay, so it also says Russia's population currently about 142 million could fall by 30% by the middle of the century. And what you always see in these problems, demography is destiny. Yeah, it's destiny if it keeps going in that direction. But people can change their behavior, and tax incentives are one way to get them to do that. Maybe not even the best way, but simply providing for their physical security and giving them a reason to think they have a future will get them to breed, let alone the tax incentives. And we saw it both ways. In Nazi Germany, people bred far more than they did in Catholic Germany beforehand or Jew-controlled Weimar Germany beforehand, because the future looked brighter.
Yeah, amazing.
And they also had incentives
amazing,
for whites.
Amazing, isn't it?
So,
yeah.
So they have a birth rate go up by about 10% when they put in a simple tax mix. But what Putin has also done, the future looks better because he's gotten them out of debt. We talked earlier in the program today about the U.S. being like having $53 trillion in unfunded liabilities. That is expenses that we are going to owe by law. That's what entitlement means. It means if you fit the conditions, you qualify. Well, we qualify, our government qualifies in the back end of owing those entitlements to the tune of $53 trillion. Well, Putin has got Russia out of debt on the foreign trade. Russia is out of debt. It has natural gas, it has gas, it has oil, and it's now out of debt and has a trade surplus where we have a huge trade deficit. We have China. We borrow money from China to finance foreign wars that are good for Israel, that kill our own people, while Russia is getting out of debt. It's making agreements with people. It has a sane, stable, intelligent leader, and its people are breeding. Mm-hmm. So Russia's doing better than the U.S.
And you know, they are confident and happy. Have you watched their shows on TV here? My landlady has it. I watched it on cable. There's beautiful six-foot chicks up there dancing, singing New Year's. They're all toasting. Everybody's smiling. It's not a fake happiness. These people are on a huge upswing. I've been down to the train station, and I see them all going off in the train to Moscow and into Russia. They're happy. I mean, they're happy. They're confident. You can just feel it. It's not like being in the Newark Airport or JFK or something or Atlanta.
Right. You see that they're tennis players at the Australian Open, absolutely loaded with Russian and Serbian and Eastern European players. And they're half of them, they're beautiful, tall, willowy, Nordic, the Rus in Russia, Nordic, blondes. I mean, the type Craig has gushed over for years. Just absolutely beautiful.
Is it that
specimens.
Bad?
not just beautiful, but hard-driven. Tough people who are very good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, and unfortunately, these people were completely cut off from the rest of Western Europe behind the Iron Curtain of Jewish tyranny, and now, just now, they're coming to light again to Western peoples as we fall into the abyss of Jewish dictatorship.
Well, it's our job, all of us.
That, you know, they had Jewish dictatorship there, but they were so, you know, I don't know why they never tried the multiculturalism there the way they tried it here. Now, certainly they're going to try it now, but they didn't try it on their Soviets, I guess, because Lenin's
they had the
so
commie system, that's why.
They had to they were in danger of losing their revolution once it was achieved, so they had to basically put in a totalitarian government simply out of fear of being re-revolutionized by the white Russians, the good people. And so they kept that terror state in place for 70 years, and only now has it weakened and let up. And I hope to God that Putin can continue to expand the population base. That's absolutely tremendous. Nearly, I would say, about a 6, 7, 8, 10% rise in the number of births in Russia.
Yeah, simply
due to one simple
by
tax
pulling the very simple and logical levers that motivate human beings.
And if you Americans think these people are stupid, you know, we just put up another. I know I'm talking about videos a lot. Had Michio Kaku, who wrote Hyperspace, and he has these carbon nanotube fibers, and we have the ability now to literally build an elevator into space. And it's hard to explain, but because of the nature of these fibers, even as the Earth turns, it'll just whip around a little bit like a rope following. But it's pretty fantastical and fantastic. Anyway, this was discovered by Russians in like 1952 or something. You can look it up on Wikipedia. It's a carbon nanotube fiber. Sometime in the 50s. I might have missed it by a couple of years. It's in the 50s. And you know what? Then they ripped it off and said somebody else discovered it, but they admitted that the Russians were the first. And we have another video. They show this Russian jet fighter, and it's doing things that are just unbelievably beautiful. It looks like it's just stalling in midair, and then it does like a ballet, and then does a drop, and then it comes out of the drop. It's just beautiful, incredible things that they're doing. Now, Americans build a lot of things, too. But imagine what our society in the United States would be like if we weren't dragged down by all this day-to-day racial conflict. It just gets old. It gets sick. You know, get out of here. You people who want to live with them, have a nice day. Have a nice century. Have a nice, diffusion into hell and oblivion. We don't need you.
You know, just like these laws that crack down on people who express dissenting opinions, if the people who crack down had the truth on their side, they could simply put it out there. Well, if the people who pushing multiculturalism really believed it, why wouldn't they make it voluntary? This is so great. It's obvious people want it. Okay, well, make it voluntary. And what you'll find is, like I said, you take the least attractive state in the union, make it whites only, and whites will flock there. Because multiculturalism is bullshit. Everybody knows it's bullshit. It's intentional genocide against whites. And I sure hope that those Russians sell some of their new advanced fighters to Iran and any other country that dares to stand up against the U.S.-Israeli axis of evil.
Putin says an attack on Iran is an attack on Russia, just like the U.S. says that crap. An attack on Israel is an attack on us, you bet.
Well, you know, this stuff's going to come to a head if we end up with a president like McCain.
Yeah.
We're absolutely bent on starting wars.
Well, you know, after the absolute, I don't know what you call it, the ruination of a civilization of Bush, pretty close to it, and the reason he thinks the way he does is because he has bizarro religious beliefs. That's the foundation of it, in my opinion. That's my opinion, but I think he got an alcohol rehab. In any case, even Obama would probably look good for a while in contrast to Bush. So,
he wouldn't be any worse. He, at least on 9/10 of the fronts, he wouldn't be any worse. On the racial stuff, he probably would.
Yeah.
The thing is, it doesn't matter. These politicians, only a white nationalist politician could save us. And the problems that we have, the crises that they point to, these are caused by the government. They're not something the government's going to solve. The only way the government solves problems is basically by not doing anything. The government causes every major problem that we have in the U.S. And the meta problem is we can't talk about it because the media are basically part of that government. Thank God for the internet, or we wouldn't be doing this show. We wouldn't know each other. We'd be grumbling and reading, you know, badly mimeographed newsletters if it were not for the internet. Keeping the internet open is the most important political task we have right now because it allows us to get in position to reclaim our countries.
Yeah, and just educate people to all the things that they know but just ain't so.
Which is, if anything you take in from the mass media fits that description, it ain't what you know that's the problem. It's what you know that just ain't so. And I've seen that attributed to a number of different writers. It's either Mark Twain or Peter Finley Dunne who said it originally. It ain't what you know. It's what you know that just ain't so. And the Holocaust is a prime example of something you know is true. You know is true, but isn't in fact true. In fact, is a big lie.
Yeah. Well, we're through the topics. Closing statements. Alex Jane.
Good to be doing Goy Fire again. There's a little interest expressed today in maybe doing another VNN paper, so I don't know if that may be in the works. I gave my approval of it, and I was the one standing in the way of it before. I think if we do maybe a little 6-8 page paper, it might be worth it focusing on black crime in light of these recent shootings that we discussed today in Kirkwood, Missouri, and in up in Chicago. So we may head in that direction. Hope we can do some more Goy Fire soon. We're doing Free Talk Live several nights a week, at least 2-3 nights a week. And I'm going to be doing some more Radio Estina myself when I have material prepared to do, which I don't quite yet. But encourage people to join VNN Forum. See the videos on podblock.com. Learn about your history, your heritage, your roots, and understand the world you live in. Listen to Goy Fire. Go to all of our white media. And for the first time, read something that was put together without Jews and between you and which, you know, there is no Jew between me and you, as one of our guys says. There is no Jew between you listening to this and us speaking as Goy Fire. And every other media that you read or hear today, that will not be the case. There will be a Jewish editor standing between you and the truth. And that editor will make sure that you only hear that the shooter is a black man in the very last sentence. And he'll make sure that you don't even see a sketch of that man, that you hear more about his clothes than who he is. Is that the kind of world you want to live in?
He had on four green beads, Alex. Four green beads in one of his braids that came over his hair. It sounds like some sort of nursery rhyme.
Yeah. That's detailed.
Yeah.
The minutia. See, that brings me back to the Holocaust, because it was that famous Holocaust scholar who said he didn't want to talk about the big things, he wanted to talk about the little things. The minutia of the Holocaust. The personal stories that add up to 6 million, give or take a couple of million.
Yeah. And what is this, Goy Fire 54?
Hilbert. Yeah, Goy Fire 54.
54, okay. What are we in? We're in February 2008, so I guess we're in our third year of doing this. Yeah. I can't remember when we started, to tell you the truth.
I think April of 2005, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so time goes by very quickly.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have made quite a bit of difference. I don't mind to say, I really think when I say we, I mean all white nationalists all across the internet and the world, because we're really bending some minds. And again, I emphasize, I don't mean us only, but all the people who are doing this, all white people in the world, you know, people like Saga, the singer in Sweden, and all the political groups in England and Germany and Switzerland, and even Ron Pollard's did a lot.
Yeah, the stagehands revolting.
I like it. I'd like to say that this is what we need to do. You know, in these countries, as I've said, even during this Goy Fire, I have found out that they have extreme nationalism. And while they do relate to the white situation worldwide, especially when you talk about them just a little, and they certainly don't want niggers in their country, or Turks, or Mexicans, or anything else. The problem is we don't have a global consciousness. And in America, in our country, if I may address Americans, we think that, some of us are still getting out of this American mindset, which really doesn't exist. But when you're morphing from the American mindset to become pro-white and only pro-white, then you find yourself in the position, well, all my neighbors and I have some okay black friends and I work with all these people, what am I going to do? Well, that is a problem. So I suppose you have to get to the point where you're willing, first of all, to think about it, to speak about it with your intimates, and then to make that more a widely cast, you know, range of people. And to, I suppose, at some point, you have to change your economic situation and where you're going to live. Because if it collapses, as Peter Schiff, I believe, said, that condo in Vancouver is going to look more and more better to you, you know, a little small condo. Because whites, on a worldwide level, with the internet, as Alex was saying, we really have to just begin to think we're under an onslaught in this world and in history, in world history, numerically. If there are 8 billion people, and I think the United Nations says at the end of this century we're only going to be 2% of the planet we're projected to be, because the birth rates in no country are even at replacement levels. So 2%, if there are 8 billion people in the world, then that's what, 160, 180 million people, something in there. 160, I guess. Imagine that, 160 white people in the world. If you think that now you're set up on, you know, polemically and politically and harangued and harassed by media and Jews, wait till you get down to that number. And I can just picture that. There'd be rich Saudis and everywhere, you name it, Jews flying in to get one of the last Aryan women to breed with. I mean, it's like a science fiction scenario, but it's really happening. And you're really doing nothing. It's really happening. You're really doing nothing. Think about that. That's all.
Yeah, and I think there's opportunities to get involved. I think the Ron Paul phenomenon was a part of that, and it did show to a certain extent of what whites can do financially and whatnot when they decide to get involved. But this fight isn't over with Ron Paul. Ron Paul is going to be a footnote in history. The real fight is the fight of whites against Jews. So it's the white nationalist fight, and that's a fight you don't give up on after Super Tuesday. It's ongoing. It's generational. And this is the fight you need to be in and to support and start donating and getting involved. Tune in next time. Thanks for listening. Till next time, America. This is Ages with you. Best of your minds.